Blog Talk Radio.
Money, 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 money.
That's like Chester the Molester. He put that cookie out there and trying to trap you. Watch that dollar, that mighty dollar. Don't let it change you. I just had to put that out there because it's kind of like it goes together. We ain't supposed to let money change us. And I practice that and I talk about it. The more you say it, people, the more your body will follow. If you became a millionaire tomorrow, ooh, I know the first thing you're going to go do is start buying you some toys, some of this and that. And then when somebody come around you needing a dollar or two, I can imagine what you're going to tell. Say the wrong thing to somebody. You want to help people that need to be helped. And that's what God would want you to do. Try at all times to keep God in your life at all times so he can guide you and direct you. Because once you get that $1 million, ooh, there's another sinful Satan going to come in your life, and he's going to guide you the wrong way. You're going to go out there and be buying some stuff for your race car that you don't need. It's going to cause it to blow up because you didn't put God first. Put God first in your life and in your race car. And I guarantee you, things will start working out real good for you. So if you get $1 million, the lottery, for some kind of strange reason, God bless you with some money. Sometimes it can be a test to see how you're going to handle it. And if you don't handle it well, you'll be back in the poorhouse with the rest of them. So let that be a word of the wise. And watch yourself, people. We're going to talk about that some more later on in the show. But try not to let money change you. By the OJs. Oh, man, that's a pretty good song back in the day. That was a hit. All right, all right, all right. I want to welcome everybody to the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show here Sunday. Halloween night. Ain't that something, people? Something today I wanted to share with you guys. I don't know how you feel, but in some church, and I'm going to say some church, not all church, but in some church, and the way I was taught, that God do not condone or support paganistic holidays, and especially Halloween, because you're supporting bones, evil, scary stuff, all that negative stuff. When you support and contribute to it, you're actually telling other people it's okay, it's fine. You can go out and put some bones on your windows and have devil type stuff hanging around your kids and stuff. Some churches don't believe in that paganistic holiday because there ain't nothing positive about Halloween. And this is what I was taught. Now, y'all correct me if you think I'm wrong. Devil worship and stuff and Satanism and seance and ghosts and goblins, all that creature stuff, then you're allowing it to come into your life. And when you allow it to come in your life, you open the door for Satan to come next. He'll send his little spirits in there, and before you know it, you'll get that $1 million from that lawsuit or that lottery, and watch yourself. Watch yourself. You're going to be doing some things that you're going to regret. So this Halloween, I seen a young lady dress a kid up in a costume, and they went to one of my friend's church right here in the neighborhood. Well, not too far from my shop. And I was like, they going in this church with these devil worshiping costumes on. And I just wonder, is the pastor really condoning that stuff? Or what's on their mind? Do they think it's just something fun for the kids to do? That Ouija board that they came out with years ago, which you allow your kids to play with that Ouija board. That Ouija board has been known to open the doors to Satan. When you talk about Satan and ask a certain demon to come into your life and you want to ask it questions, you're opening up the doors for hell to come into your heart, your mind, and your soul. I don't think God likes that. He wants you to open up the doors for him to come in. This is the first time in a long time I've seen a lot of people stepping out with costumes, going to the store, this and that and other. Just a thought. But I ain't going to dwell on that too much. You just let me know if you think that stuff is okay. Now, when we was kids, I remember going out one time for Devil's Night. I had to make my own outfit because Mama was not going to spend no money on no paganistic outfit because we was poor. We needed food on the table. She wasn't going to spend no money on no outfit and no candy. So I made me a little outfit, got some old rags, cut them up, boom, 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 and I went out. That was the only time I went out trick-or-treat. And you know how old I am. That was a long time ago. Really was not positive to me. Going out, knocking on some doors, they're giving you candy. And guess what? You're going to get a cavity, sweet tooth, diabetes. Ain't nothing positive in it. Get a whole bunch of different kinds of candy. You'll be eating on that for 2-3 weeks. Because you get them big bag of Snickers, one of my favorites. Three Musketeers, one of my favorites. Them little candy bars, and before you know it, my teeth will be hurt. But anyway, if that's what you like to do, if you think that's okay, you better think twice. Anyway, I ain't going to tell you all this stuff, because then I'll be telling you some more things that I've got into. But enough of that. This is a Halloween night. I'm not going to talk no more about this Halloween stuff. I don't know. I'll take that back. I might talk about it some more later. But that devil worship and that celebrating this type of stuff, that's not my cup of tea. It may be for you, but it's not for me. Now, I can think of a lot of positive things in the Easter Bunny, but even though the Easter Bunny, tissue creature, it has nothing to do with God. Now, while you want to hop, find some Easter eggs, if the kids have fun doing that, maybe so. But compare Easter egg hunting to trick-or-treat dressing up in a monster outfit. You do the math. Okay, before we get any further, I want to always put God first in everything we do. Father God in heaven, help us understand what you want us to do, God. There's things that's going on in this world to Halloween, trick-or-treat. Lord, if it's not good for us, take it and cast it away from our footsteps. Lead us in the right direction, Father God in heaven. Give us the understanding of what you want us to do. We're your children. We want to be in your midst. And, Father God, if the sinful things of Satan comes around, please cast them out. I ask you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Push the one button, people. Push the one button, and we're going to get this show popping and going. I see my boy down there. I ain't talked to you in a minute. Before we even get the show going, you got a minute? Let me holler at you for a quick second. Hit the one button. Brother Greg, I ain't talked to you in a minute. Hit the one button, Brother Greg. Thank you. There you go. All right. Before we get the show going, I want to talk to my brother Greg. I ain't talked to him in a minute. How you doing, Brother Greg?
Shake, how you doing? You okay?
Oh, man, I'm good. Now I finally get a chance to talk to you. How you doing, bro?
Hey, Hey, trying to get this car dialed in. You know, I got that. I told you I put that that rack under there. And I was trying to get you to come over and take a look at it. But
well, you know, Greg, I just got back in town.
I know.
Last Tuesday. I've been gone for 2 weeks.
What, you was at Holly Springs, wasn't you?
Yep, I was at Holly Springs. We had a real good race. I got a chance. Didn't I get you on my Facebook page?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see some of the races? Okay.
I think you
was trying to get on. It popped up on my phone. I'm like, what is this? It was new to me, Greg. And I was like, oh, Greg trying to get on. So I kind of quickly pushed some buttons, and I pushed the right button, I guess, and got you on. So that's good.
Yep,
that's
I'm on. I mean, you got some good info. I mean, that is a good site. It's a good site.
Yeah, and one of my boys helped me out with it from Ohio, Mike Smith. I want to send a shout out to Mike Smith. Real good fellow. When we was out there at Ohio 42 this last time, Greg, this brother here, he's got a old school Nova, that square body like the Nova 2.
Yeah,
and he won his event, and I went up, took pictures with him, and got to talking with him, and we became friends ever since.
Wow!
And he helped me with this Facebook thing, and posted it on there for me. And every time I go to a racetrack, and I can go on live, and it'll go straight to you, Greg. Go straight to you.
Sure do. Sure do. I seen it. Hey, but Shake, let me say this. What you was talking about with this trick-or-treating thing, this Halloween stuff, man, I'm telling you, I think I'm like you. I don't see the logic behind it, but, you know, it's not for me to decide. It was something that man-made. I think it's where the kids, they really enjoy having it. You can't take a lot of that away from it, but like you said, I like what you said. It's, you don't have nothing that pertains to God. It don't have nothing pertaining to any spirituality. It's like he's
right.
Just buying a lot of stuff for the economy to keep the economy going.
Mm-hmm. And you know, everybody that buy them candy and sell them candy, you just contributing to putting money in their pocket, and you get nothing out of it but a cavity.
Yep.
I
was looking all over my head where I went today. I just seen where people was, you know, they had their cars parked, and people brought their kids there, and they, you know, got all the candy and stuff. And like you said, some people like us, we can't afford to be having no mouth problems.
No. Hey, Greg,
teeth,
how many teeth are we supposed to have?
You know, if it's in your house, you're going to eat it.
Yeah. How many teeth we supposed to have in our mouth, Greg?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think, what is it, 40? 30?
30 teeth. 32, I thought it was. I think it's 32.
Okay, if you got 32, that's probably when you was, 15, you probably had 32. So you might have about, the way we is now, the age we at now, we probably got about 12.
No. I think I got it wrong. I think it's supposed to be 30 teeth. I'm not 100%. It's 30 or 32. You're supposed to have total teeth in your mouth. And in my 61 years, I'm missing two.
and
I can blame it on that candy. I can blame it on that candy. That candy used to tear me up, Fred.
Man, you only lost two, though, Shay. You just lost two. Some of us have lost about seven or eight of them. We done lost about seven or eight of them. So.
I know. I've seen some guys pull them teeth out their mouth, them partials or whatever you call it.
Right. Oh, there it is. But, it's been a while, though, Shay. I went out to 131 to do a little shakedown on the car to make sure that it'll go straight. And lo and behold, I got to give Melva credit. I got to give I got to give Melbourne credit, and I also got to give a shout out to what's the name? Got the Camaro. I think he had it on. He had it for sale on Facebook.
Oh, Ben.
Ben, yeah, I got to give a shout out to Ben too. They wanted to refer me to the guy. Man, that car, woo, it goes straight as an arrow, straight. Now I just got to tone it down. I got to where it don't go up in the air as high because now that I took all that weight off the front. Remember now that thing was heavy.
Yeah, you had a gearbox on there, didn't you?
Yes, I had a gearbox and you know a few other little things I had on there that contributed with the gearbox to make it perform all them years. And I took all that weight off of there, and boy, they just want to send that car straight up in the air. I mean, big time. So we're gonna tone it down. We're gonna put a little weight in the front of the car, and we'll tone it down a little bit. Then we'll be all right for next year. But I was thinking about going to Orlando. They got that big race in Orlando.
You talking about Baldy's race?
I think it's Baldy's race in
Orlando.
Yeah, in Orlando. That's
Orlando.
That's Baldy's race.
That's second week
December.
Of December.
Yeah.
I'm planning on going. Matter of fact, Corey planning on going. So
Corey go all the time. He always
us,
him and his father used to always be down there every year.
Matter of fact, when Corey come on here, when he come on, I'm gonna remind him and we'll keep in touch with that, man, because me and Corey drove down there in my Honda and in my G6.
Oh,
twice.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've been down there fishing up a storm. It's nice. You go down there, it's T-shirt weather. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 4 days of pure racing.
Well, one time I drove down there, me and my wife, we drove down there one time, too, because we got a timeshare down there. So we drove down there because we got a timeshare, and we just went from there straight to Speed World and got over there and to see some things over there when we was down there. So that's been a while, but I ain't been able to take the car, but this time I think I'm going to probably ease on down there with the car. So and I got everything ready on it now. I'm so glad. Woo.
Let me tell you something about that race. Football of all races at the end of the year, and everybody from all over the country, from California, Bodie, him and his son sometimes comes out there. The East Coast shows up. Every state just about in the United States. Shows up. Texas guys, Alabama, all the down south guys shows up. It is one big. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something there. You got a golf cart, right?
Yep.
You need it. Because there's much around and so many places to go, you got to have a golf cart.
Okay, yeah, I definitely got a golf cart.
Yeah, man, because there's some walking around. It's a big track. And if you get there early, you can get a good seat. And it will be congested, trust me.
Man. Now, only bad part about that, though, Shake, is when December come around, man, we may see some snow.
And that's true. That's true. Normally, it usually snow right around Christmas or either before Christmas, right after Christmas. So when we drive, every time I drove out of here, it's never been snow. But we have to drive back in the snow.
Oh, okay.
There was a time where I was doing the show. I stopped in Orlando under the freeway where, they got, like, overpasses. I stopped near a freeway, parked underneath there, and they called us and told us we had 2 feet of snow in Detroit. I was taking my time about coming back. So I pulled up under the freeway. I did the show. Matter of fact, we had a big show because everybody was on the show. And I think I got back 2 days later when the snow had kind of like drifted off and all the traffic was clear.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That'll work, man. I'm telling you, that'll work. So, Shake, you ain't really been at your shop or nothing recently because you've been probably running, ripping and running all over the place.
Yeah, when I got back Tuesday, I took it easy because, you know, all that driving kind of wear you out. And I got jobs now that I got to do. Matter of fact, I got to put some brakes on a big-ass U-Haul truck in the back. If you go by the shop, you see that big sucker sitting out there. And it needs everything from wheel cylinders to grease seals to brake line, brake shoes. It needs everything.
Oh, okay.
So I got to do that. But once I get that and a couple other things out the way, then I have some time.
Yeah, that's what I say. Shoot on by the house over here. You know where I'm. Just shoot on by when you get a chance. Give me a call. You let me know you're on your way, and I'll set the car up in the air so you can get a chance to take a look at it underneath there. I know you will get a chance to come and see it. So you'll see where we are, where we stand at with it. So.
Okay.
And
good,
not only
good.
That, Sheik, what's the name of them had their thing down at TFC today or yesterday?
Yeah, it was a car show.
Yeah, a car show.
I mean, huge. I didn't know was it a lot of people there?
Man, that place, I went down there. That place was packed. You know, Rhino, what's his name?
Rhino
the guy who get our gasoline from?
Mm-hmm.
Rhino, he was down there with his car. He got his motor back in the car and everything. So
now somebody posted a video up, and I seen the video. Russell, I don't know who he is, but he posted a video. He went down there. I seen Rhino Dino. I seen the cars that was in there. They had some kids. They had kid bouncy and stuff for the kids.
Yep, they had Peso. Peso, he was down there too.
Okay, yeah, and
it was a huge show. A lot of those other cars, you know, the big wheel cars, they was down there, but. That's really what it was all about, showing them big old cars, them big wheel cars, and, man, them guys spent some money. Motorcycles, or them bikes, oh, my God. I mean, them boys spent some money on them bikes.
Now, when this guy showed this video, it didn't look like it was a lot of people there when he showed his video. Oh, I'm getting an echo.
Yeah, he from WJLB. It was a talk show host from WJLB, I think, 97.9.
WJLB was on the flyer. I got the flyer. WJLB.
Okay.
Oh, and what's his name was there? DJ Envy.
Yeah,
DJ
Envy show was there.
It was his show. Car show. Yeah,
it was his show.
And I wanted to go meet him, but I had too much other stuff in the fire. I really wanted to go meet him, DJ.
It was a good show. I mean, it was a whole lot of cars down there, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll catch him next time. But, yeah, I wanted to meet DJ Envy. And you said they had a whole lot of them big tire cars down there?
Yeah, they had a lot of them. I mean, the color codes on them, the color on them, everything. Then, not only that, I think the week before last, they had a show in Inkster. It was at Inkster High School. They had a lot of those cars that was down there yesterday was at that Inkster complex, Inkster show, trucks. Huge wheels on the trucks and everything. I mean, we're looking at a world now. I mean, don't shake. We're looking at a different type of car, different type of even kind of, because they even race those cars. They race those cars. We see a different type of racing car that we see today. They don't really even look like race cars like what we had, like what we got now.
Because
these cars are just as fast as some of the cars we got. Superchargers on them, turbos, chargers. These guys spending money.
Sure is. And they got them big old tires on that Joker.
Yeah.
Twin turbos. They got stuff that we hadn't even dreamed of. They got twin turbos on it. But that's the new style, I guess we can say, Greg. That's new style, yeah. A new generation. They like that stuff.
They like that. It's a new generation of people. And the people that frequent those kind of car shows are the people that's trying to find something or trying to put something together similar to that. If you bought your car mm-hmm. there, they would, you know, you'd be sitting over in the corner somewhere
past.
Because they're not. They yeah. people don't. They know they're not ready for nothing like what we have. We got ancient material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, yeah. I guess you can say that we got the ancient stuff, but we paid the way for them. That's because all of that stuff they got on there. We pretty much got it on our car. We just don't have that style of car.
Yes, that's the whole key. The whole key is we got the same things on the car, but what they do is they chrome it. They put the blue, the red, the gold, the green. They brighten it all up and make it stand out. Because if you look at the wheels, you can see that stuff from a long distance. If you driving down the street, now, Shake, check this out. If you driving uh-huh. down the street, you can see those cars coming and going from a distance
yep.
because the color on those vehicles, it stands out dramatically.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And, I mean, they be having the inside of the wheels lit up, changing colors and stuff. Lights on the ground. I'm like, man, paint jobs out of this
world. It was about four or five of them together, and boy, I'm telling you, it looked like there was an airplane just landing.
Mm-hmm.
It was moving. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like you said.
Yeah.
Today is the style of what people love. They love that, and the music. Sometimes you have to shake your head at the music because the music will literally blow your eardrums off.
Oh yeah. When I was at the Autorama a couple years ago. And I think I seen that same bike. It was a motorcycle in there. It was all white. Man, he had some sounds on there. He could have did a concert.
Yeah.
Coming off of that motorcycle. It was kicking.
And all he
had was a little iPod in his hand.
That was just one of the cars. Down at the show yesterday, one of the motorcycles. It was about seven or eight of them. That had that kind of music that you had, that you heard years ago or a couple of years ago, is booming now, unrealistic. I'm telling you, you can't stand near them things. You can't stand near them
mm-hmm.
motorcycles. If they turn them up and turn them things up and turn them sounds on, you can't stand near them.
Okay. That's something you can hear from two blocks away. And you're like, where is that coming from? And then 10 minutes later, here you come down your street. Because it be loud. It's something that'll wake up the dead, Greg.
Oh, man. And the bass is just, you just can't, you know, man, I'm telling you, it shake your windows. The bass on them things will shake your window.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just got to say, this is the generation we in. This is the generation we in, so.
Yeah.
So I had to call in, Shake, just to tell you, bring you on an update on what's transpiring, so. I'm gonna get back on mute a little bit, and I'll be checking your show out.
Okay, man. I'm gonna get Brother Unknown on here. I had to mute his mic for a quick second. Brother Unknown, your mic is back open.
Yeah, yeah, how y'all
how you doing, bro?
All right, thank God again, another day for us to be above ground. I really appreciate that. And I have one topic that I will come up with if you want to go on with that or you want to go on and hit somebody else and see what they might have. If not, I can give you what I got.
Go ahead with your topic, and we'll play it by ear.
Well, what I want to, ask a question for everybody, anybody want to answer. What I've been listening to and seeing lately, that everybody is beginning to start teaming up on each other. And I'm just wondering, how far that, they think they're going to, make it through the race world by teaming up on, their own buddies, cutthroat. There's a lot of cutthroat out there now. And do anybody
mm-hmm.
else believe that by what they see from racing? So,
now,
that's
that
what
again.
I want to know. I want to see do anybody else see that in racing, a lot of cutthroat. They can be up in your face like they're your buddy, and the next minute, you know, you out here ready to race. They ain't going to race you themselves, but they're going to try to find somebody else to get you. So they set you up for the next man. In other words, nah, me and you buddies, oh, I know about your car. And then, in other words, I'm sitting here talking with you today, and then tomorrow, you know what I mean, I'm trying to race you. But then when it comes to trying to, you know, get the stiffs and all that stuff together, then I back out and then throw somebody else at you. But once you race such and such person, then they might come and jump on their phone and, you know, come at you all kind of ways, you know, trying to race you because somebody else don't set you up. And you thinking this person is all right with you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brother Unknown, I pray that they don't be doing that kind of stuff. And years ago, when we first started getting into this grudge racing stuff, I seen it change. I seen them coming. They start playing the same games that you're talking about, and they play tricks with you. They find out what you got, and then they go tell their boys what he got, what you got, and then now they trying to race you, and they got one up on you because you told this guy, and then this guy tells somebody else, now they want to race you. You have to be careful who you talking with, who you dealing with.
Hey,
I've seen it in this game. Yes, sir.
Let me intervene for a few minutes and say this. That's a good topic to talk about tonight. Even tonight, that'll be a good topic. What Unknown had just mentioned. Let me tell you the reason why. Mm-hmm. Because it don't always have to be your buddies. But when we was in St. Louis for Black Sunday, we had that same situation. We got up to the line. Now this was not the grudge scene at that time, but during the time that we was there, a lot of people who came to Black Sunday knew who we were, who we was out of Detroit. So instead of them matching us up with just whoever we came up with in the lanes, they singled us out and matched us up with the guys who was good at that track, they best racers at their track, to make sure that we didn't get into the money round. So they actually matched us up to make sure that we went out first round or second round so that we don't get into the money round so that we don't race. So I know the topic is a little different than what it is today, but back then I don't see too much of a difference.
Right. And I remember going to St. Louis and in them races, Greg. And like I say, I pray that they don't do this stuff, man, because it's conniving. But it happens, and Unknown probably didn't see it again over on in the East Coast where he's at. But
I'm listening to listening at them. They're doing it. They're doing it every day.
Yeah. And you got to be extremely careful who you deal with and who you talk to. And then when you find something like that going on, spread it around. Tell all the other fellas to beware. Because all I want to do is go out and race a clean, fair race. That's all. I don't need all that trickery stuff.
That's why we put it out there.
I don't need all that trickery stuff. Because when you start getting involved in that trickery stuff, they trying to guarantee themselves a win. That's their insurance by tricking you. And I know today being Halloween, but you ain't got to continue. You ain't got to do all that trickery stuff. A nice, clean, fair race. Now, when Muhammad Ali and his opponent gets in the ring, you got the referee sit there and he say to the two boxers, "Look here, fellas, I want a clean, good fight. I don't want no cheating, no headbutting. No grabbing and no pinching and none of that, no kicking." He say he wants a good, clean fight. Well, when it comes to us in these race cars, we want a good, clean race with no tricks. And you know they got a lot of, because when they go to stipping stuff, you got to be careful because them stips can be real tricky. And if you don't know your stips, you're going to get caught up in that windbag. And you'll lose some money.
Hey, Sheik.
You ask? Yes, sir.
Not only that, just like Unknown has said, sometimes these guys get up there and be talking all that mess, and they don't even have a car. They be trying to set you up with their boys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I seen that. I just seen that not too recently. I mean, the guy's talking all that mess, short, flashing big paper. You thinking he got a car. So you go out there and do something. Now, this is what I tell him. If you want to do something, make sure you in the car and you in the same car that you talking, you want me to rate. You the driver. Make sure you driving the car. Now they want a bad car. I ain't about all that. I'm just trying to show. That's my boy. Well, I didn't. hey, Shay. Some of these older racers know exactly what Unknown talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got all the lip and the mouth and no car. They're not gonna drive it. It ain't their car. But they know somebody that got a car and they wants to bet and be all up in the limelight.
Talk all that mess and then won't go get somebody. They can't handle you yourself because they ain't got nothing, like he just said. But then, you know, they go get people, trying to put other people on you. It happens all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Well, beware because they might walk up to you after they win and say, trick or treat. They being the holiday and all. But you're right, Greg. You're right, Unknown. You got to be careful. And, you know, Tao likes to talk about them stips because them stips is what you got to watch out for. And what you say, Unknown, always look at the big picture.
That's it.
Always look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Shay, I want to throw one more thing at you with Unknown. I don't know if Unknown have had a situation like this, but some of them same people that they'll send somebody over to your car, they'll be wanting to look it over and see what all you got before they decide to, you know, want to call you out or something like that. I had a situation, and this was a while back, but I had a situation where one guy, he knew how fast he didn't know how fast your car, but he knew it was kind of fast. So when you're not looking, a lot of times, like on my wheelie bars, I got these little pins that goes into your wheelie bars. They, you know, they just click on them, make sure your wheelie bars stay in the same place.
Right.
One guy came up on there, and he was looking down at them and saw the little pins. So I was sitting on my golf cart, and next thing I looked around, I kind of noticed he was looking down at my wheelie bar. When I looked up, he had pulled a pin out of my wheelie bar, one of my wheelie bars. Pulled a pin out. These things happen. And you may not believe that these things happen, but they happen. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, he couldn't get it out the other bar because they set up like that. But he pulled it out one of them where the bar a move, if you know the bar a move, and then now you'll be all over the track.
Yeah.
Ooh, man, you could hurt yourself like that.
But you know they're out here. You know, money don't have no name on it, you know, or anything. You know, to me, I mean, I don't trust nobody just like a crackhead. Once he go out that night and do everything he's gonna do, the next morning he broke. He don't matter if you got $2 in your pocket. He want that. You know, so he can put it in that pipe and blow it up. And you got people at the racetracks and all that, they be fiending the same way. And you got people that they work for. Man, it's a lot of crooked, slick people out here. And they got nerve enough to come right there in your face in the noon daytime and do their dirty work. You know, just like now, you see more killing in the daytime, more robbing and stuff like that. It ain't that much at night as it is daytime there. That's why you got to pay attention. Yeah. You got to watch yourself and pay attention. If you don't, man, I'm telling you, you're going to suffer a lot of, you know, stuff in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a damn shame when somebody go up and mess with your car.
They do it.
Yeah, situation like that, man, they would have to throw me under the jail. Because if I catch somebody mess with mine or or one of my friend's car, they gonna have to pull my foot out of his throat, because that's how deep.
Man, you got
going
them kind
in,
of people. You got them kind of people out here. You know what I'm saying?
And that's bold. So part of the checklist. Remember we talked about checklists, right, fellas? We always talk about the checklist. Get you a little piece of paper. Write down the things that you do to make sure your day is gonna go okay. Part of your checklist is making sure you have somebody around your car at all times. If you got a crew, if you got a crew of three people in your camp and two of them want to go get something to eat, make sure one of them stay there and watch the car, the trailer.
That's it.
And then when they get back, then the other one can leave. But do not leave your car unattended. And, Greg, you told me about an incident that happened at 42. Now, when you told me that, it was hard to swallow. But when you told me that incident happened at 42 years ago, I'm like, man, we don't need this kind of stuff.
These things, I mean, you'd be surprised what people will go through, to what extent they'll go to. Like, just like Unknown said, it's to what extent they'll go to when it comes to that, trying to save money, or they trying to keep you from getting any money. They don't care if they hurt you. Can you imagine when you turn that nitrous on and that bad boy hit them willy bar and they send that car straight to the guardrail and destroy your car? I mean, it can happen. But like you said, Shaq, you got to do your checklist. I mean, sometimes we forget. We will forget. I'll be inside the truck trying to find some tools, and next thing you know, somebody came by, and you don't know what they done did. So then, and you don't know who done it. You really can't tell. So you got some enemies out here.
Sure do, man. Some cutthroat type people. So if you just follow your checklist, go through, have your team members. Somebody check the willy bar. Somebody check the nitrous bar. Somebody check this. If you got a fire extinguisher system on your car, make sure it's filled. Just go down the checklist. And if you notice the pin ain't in the willy bar, stop everything. Hold on, guys. We can't go nowhere. The pin ain't in the willy bar. Oh, man, I'm glad you caught that, because when you let that power go, and that car go to rev back on them willy bar, bro, you about to go for a ride.
Yes, you are. You about to go for a ride. That you have no control over. You can't control that stuff when that car launch off the line and they get on them bars. One bar hook and the other side don't go nowhere. Come on now.
You're right.
And you know, something like that can actually cause somebody to get killed. So
yeah.
I don't have no love for nobody to do no stuff like that.
Well, them
really
guys,
don't.
Man, the only thing they got in their mind, the only thing they want to cut you down. If you real fast, you know what I mean. They figure that they ain't got no chance of getting you. They're gonna keep on trying to find somebody to get you. That's how
mm-hmm.
savage the world is. Now, me and you can live right next door, and we can be buddies. And you are fast because you deal with another engine builder or whatever, and you don't want to expose none of your information, not even to me. Me and you live next door to each other, but, you know, you got your car and I got my car. So I'm going to get a jealous rage just because I can't do what you do. And I'm going to try to figure any kind of way I can cut you down. Or I'm going to be making phone calls behind your back and telling whoever how fast you're going or whatever's going on with you. Just like if somebody was coming up to Chicago to race, I'm going to call away to Jupiter, you know what I mean, and tell somebody else how fast you are. Just because I got, you know, a grudge against you because I can't beat you. All that old stupid stuff. And we're in the same camp. It's getting crazy.
It is, man.
But this winter, if you got these talk shows and you talk about a lot of these things, then you can basically, you know, help keep some things the same and keep racing, you know, fit to go out there and to race instead of having racing all up and down this way, all over. That's what guys don't think about. You know, you want to keep doing this stuff, or it's just for the day? You know, we've been doing this stuff all our life. So, you know, what's on your mind? Just for the day? Be a one call for the day and call it it? I don't know. I wonder what you want some of these people mind.
Me neither. But that's not cool.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? What you building, just for the day, or you know you gotta go back out here again next year anyway, don't you wanna have some fun? If you get to a point that can't nobody else do nothing else with you or whatever, then you're not gonna have no fun.
Okay.
That's what it should be all about, some fun.
Before we go any further, we'll come back to this in a quick second. Let me make this quick announcement. Last week we had Woody Sloan on the show, and Woody was telling us about a slight problem that he was having with that same guy that was giving Dan problems with help closing the track years ago. So we had a real good show with Woody Sloan on the show. And we had Detroit Hood on the show, and everybody put in a 2 cents as far as we want the track to stay open. Woody would like the track to stay open. Woody said he's going to fight it to the end. He don't think he's going to have too big of a problem out of this guy, because if he wants to fight, Woody said he's going to stand there and continue to keep the track open. And on that note, he asked us, everybody that wants to keep the track open at Onondaga, and he wanted us to send in a letter to the township, the address where the, get your pen and pencil out, because he wanted us to send this letter, 4756 Baldwin, that's Baldwin Street, Onondaga, Michigan, 49264. We want to send a positive letter to the township, 4756 Baldwin Street, Onondaga, O-N-O-N-D-A-G-A, Onondaga, Michigan, 49264. Send your positive letter to the township telling them why you want the track to stay open, something positive. It's going to help the community. It's a place you want to go to race at. It's just, it's put on there. It ain't got to be a long letter. It could be something short. But just put on the letter why you want to have this, why you want to keep this track open. And when they see the positive stuff coming in for this track, it will weigh kind of heavy on our side. So Woody asked us to do that. I sent my letter out yesterday, and I'm probably going to send another one out. I don't know if I should or not, but I probably will send another one out. But everybody that wants Onondaga to stay open, send your positive letter to the township. The address is 4756 Baldwin Street, Onondaga, Michigan, 49264. Okay, I just wanted to get that out there, because for those that didn't hear it last week, I'm going to announce it tonight several times throughout the show so we can stay on top of it. Woody said he think it's something personal between that man and the track, so the heck with it. We're gonna fight to keep this joker open. Mm-hmm. And I told Woody I'd back him 100%. So I'm going to announce this on the show several times a day, and next week and the week after. Matter of fact, I'm going to post it up on my Facebook page that Woody would like for us to send a letter to the township stating something positive and why we want to keep the track open. We can't afford to have another track closed. We already got Milan down for the whole year. I heard a rumor that they're supposed to be breaking ground for the new track soon. I ain't gonna say new track, but they're gonna be doing some improvement. But as long as they're getting it together, we haven't heard anything else other than somebody that bought the track, and that's it. So, I've seen some CKILW, whatever that radio station is. He posted something up about Lapeer but I didn't hear anything about Milan yet. So with that being said, send your letters in, people. Always stay on top of it. It don't take but a few seconds to make a little quick note. It ain't got to be gorgeous and professional. It's legible to read, and you got the address. Send it. It don't take much. Envelope, stamp, and your handwriting. They'll be able to read it and just send it to that address. That's all you do. It's nothing professional. You ain't got to have no colored paper and professional type stuff. It's just as long as it's legible to read and you got an address on there, send it. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep the track open.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, have you got a chance to take your car down on the data yet? Greg, you still there?
Okay, I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I have not been able to take it to Onondaga yet. But
okay.
I'm def- pull your own puddle. Yeah, I'm planning on doing that probably next year because, like you said, I don't know if it's still open. It should be. I don't know if it's still open now.
No. Season over with.
Okay.
Season over with. Midwest season is over with. We might as well close and either travel or wait till next year. If you don't mind traveling, going down south where the good weather is, do that. If not, you might as well lock it up, drain the antifreeze drain the water out of it, put some antifreeze in it, and put it to bed for next year. This is the season we need to talk about the antifreeze. My boy Ernie told us the best thing to do is get you some RV antifreeze. You can get it at Walmart, Sears, any one of them places. They got some RV. It'll say it on the bottle, RV antifreeze. It's pretty cheap. Matter of fact, I bought some for my RV. I bought some in Indiana. For $2.48 a gallon.
Damn, that is cheap.
And that's cheap. And it does the same as regular antifreeze. But you don't want to put regular antifreeze in your car because if you leave some of it in there and you have something like a hose bust, that antifreeze is hell getting off of the track. That's why they don't want you to have antifreeze in the car next year when you get ready to drive on the track. That RV antifreeze is more alcohol based, and it doesn't leave an oily base like the regular antifreeze. Mm-hmm. So you buy that, fill it up, and you ain't got to worry about your engine busting over the winter. And it's some pretty good stuff too. They use it in your recreational vehicles. And Ernie said it worked. I've seen it work. Try it, fellas. Get that antifreeze out of your car. Drain the water out and put some RV antifreeze in there. It's pink. Matter of fact, they got another color too. I think I've seen a purple. I'm not sure, but the one that I bought is pink. Go to Walmart and you'll probably find it. The pricing probably went up. It's probably about $3 a gallon. It's in one of them like windshield washer bottle containers, and you'll see right through it. It's pink. It works. And put it in your car and get your car winterized for the winter month. If you got a heater core in your car, start it up and let it circulate. Let it get hot up to operating temperature. When it circulates through there, it gets inside the heater core. You shouldn't have a heater core on an all-out race car, but some people tend to want to drive their car street and strip. So you can put it in your car, get it up to operating temperature, and then park it in the garage for those that live up north. Those that live down south really don't have to worry about it too much, but it's good to be on the safe side because last year, even way down in Arkansas, we got a foot of snow, and that ain't normal. So, BYA, cover your ass.
Yep, you don't know what's going to happen day to day now. It can be 60 degrees, 70 degrees, and be snowing the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, this weather's been crazy lately. Fellas, we've been getting a lot of rain up here. Matter of fact, the past 3 years, my little brother in Georgia, they've been getting a lot of rain. A lot of rain. Now we getting a lot of rain up here.
Yeah.
How much we've had floods at least 3 times this year where it damn near shut the city down.
Did y'all get any races off this weekend up there?
Huh?
Did y'all get any races off this year? This week up there?
Our season is shut down.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's cold as I'm talking right now.
Okay.
When the show first came on, it was sprinkling. Then it stopped.
Mm.
So this is not race weather for us.
Okay.
I don't know what is it like in Maryland right now.
Well, ain't too bad here.
Is it race weather?
A lot of rain. Huh?
Is it race weather?
Yeah, we've been getting a little bit of rain, you know, but they're still out there getting it.
Okay, well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lapeer might have been still open today. I think somebody said they had an oil down, but I think they're trying to get their last race in, or the last couple of races in, but all the other tracks is
done.
Calling it quits.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you went to a track here in Michigan, it's gonna be cold. You're gonna probably have dew on the ground, so it's not safe. If you ask me, it's not safe. Why would I want to take my car? Am I about to race somebody? I should have did that 2 months ago.
Yeah, there you go.
If I'm going to test my car, it'll be stupid because you can tear your car up on a test kit.
Oh, yeah.
October is not a good season for the Midwest. It really is.
No, it don't mix right with hostile. Never did mix good with hostile.
Uh-uh. You want them tires to hook and book. You don't want to be skating. If you want to skate, there's another type of automobile called skis and called snowmobile. Go get one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Somebody sent me a text earlier today. Unknown. Can you look something up? Can you look something up on Facebook?
What you trying to get?
There, I got I got something I'm gonna show you. I'll probably take you in the private room later and explain it to you. I'll explain to you. It's because it's gonna be kind of lengthy. It's gonna take a minute.
Okay.
But it's the same thing I explained to you. I'm gonna explain it to you. The unknown also.
Okay.
I don't know how it's gonna work, but
say you try, both hoes will try. It beats a failure any day.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, Greg, did I tell you we getting a racetrack down in my hometown in Arkansas?
No, I haven't heard that part.
Yes, bro. 10 minutes from my house in Arkansas, we're getting a they've approved a racetrack. And I can't wait. Shoot, every time I go home, I'm gonna have double fun. So I'm because I got one of my race cars down south already, and I'm gonna have the other one. The other one I'm building is gonna stay up here. But when I go home, I can always go home and have some fun. 10 minutes away from a track. Get out of here. 10 or 15 minutes away from a track.
Cool. The 8 mile track?
Well, they talking about making it one of the state-of-the-art tracks. I think it's going to be a quarter mile because they got big plans for this track. Matter of fact, the city I'm from, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, they went around to a whole bunch of different tracks. They went to Memphis, they went to Texas, they went to all these other states and compared tracks. So the track is going to be, I think it's going to be a quarter mile. It's going to have an indoor car show area. It's going to have stuff for kids. It's going to have, man, It's got a lot of little different things they're going to have all around that whole area. I can't even remember all the stuff that they said on that sheet of paper. But it's supposed to be one of the state-of-the-art tracks because what they're doing, since they got a casino, now they're trying to get the racetrack, and it's going to boost revenue and bring a lot of people to the area. And it's right off the Arkansas River. Matter of fact, the casino is owned by some Indians, an Indian tribe.
Damn.
So the casino is going to be on one side of the road, and then on the other side of the freeway is going to be a racetrack.
Hey, Shane.
Yes, sir.
Look here. Did you hear about that accident that happened in Texas where the two kids got killed and now the lady, one of the females that were injured, finally passed away today? Have you heard about that?
No, run it down on. Was it a race?
It was they set the airport up in Texas. They set up an airport, but they didn't check for safety for the spectators. In other words, the spectators was too close, and they didn't have no dividers between the track and the spectators.
One of the cars
lost control and ran into the crowd and hit several cars and crushed the two kids that were in between the cars and ran over several other people. And they got they were gravely injured, and they killed the two boys, two kids that were there at the track, and the other lady just died that was at the hospital. She had passed away just recently, which should be today, because she was in there for about 2 weeks, and she just passed. I think it was today. So yeah, if you didn't hear about it, you will. I mean, it should come up if you Google it or you look at Facebook. You should see the results. But that's just an indication of somebody just wanting to put a race on and not take the precautions, the safety precautions for the spectators.
Oh man, you know what city this was in Texas?
I think it was Austin. I'm not sure if it was Austin, Texas, but I know it was their airport in Texas. I'm not sure which one it is. I could probably get you that information, but it definitely was on Facebook. And it happened about 2 weeks ago now, so.
It sounded like to me it was one of those no-prep races. Because the no-prep races, they run out in the open, I should say. It might be a street that they don't use, and they'll run right out in the open, and there's no barricaded walls to protect the race cars from the spectators. I've seen another track like that where the spectators was lined up all down the side, and the car, when one of the cars get out of hand, it will hit some of the spectators. I think they call them outlaw tracks or something, but wherever it is, I think it might have been some no prep stuff.
They
like
the
airport. Yeah, they like airports because the airport, an old airport, has a straight runaway, a runway, and they can race up and down it, but there's no barricaded walls.
Right.
Keep people out and keep the safety at hand. So whoever was there running it, it should have been more safety involved in this. Because when you know how people want to line up down the side and watch the race, well, hell, they need to put something up there where the cars won't get out of hand and hit the people. And it's
well,
hard,
you know, Lapeer,
to control an audience.
Well, you know, Lapeer, I know, Sheik, you've been out there. Lapeer has all of these people sitting on the walls on this side, and when you're doing your burnout, I find it hard to believe. I don't go to the pier now no more. I did at first, but I don't go no more because it's too dangerous when it comes to those spectators. When you're doing your burnout, you got these people right. I mean, what if that car?
What's up?
You know it. We know it. We know it.
But you know something, Jake? You know, I've been looking at this a long time, and I used to race myself a long time in the street and all that type of stuff like that. And at the racetrack. So the way I really see it, if I was a driver right now, and I know good and well, you know, my machine might, you know, just break one way and you don't have no control of it. I mean, I'm going to cut it off up there in the burnout box or whatever. I mean, I would hate you. But in my mind, I don't know what this truck or this car going to do. So I'm going to cut it off until somebody gets these people out of the way. If they don't get the people out of the way, then they ain't going to see no race. If I was a driver, that's what I would do. I'd cut it off. Or if I own the vehicle and somebody else will drive it, I'll go up there and tell them cut it off. I mean, I don't have no choice. Because nobody want to take the responsibility after something like that happens.
Yeah.
And the driver to me, he's the one that they're going to lock up. You know what I'm saying? Because he hit them. And you look in reality, you know, he didn't want to have an accident with him, and all he was say they was over behind the wall, there was other, you know, that don't mean anything. Why did you go race down there? Why didn't you shut it off? I mean, that's how I look at it.
Ooh, you know what? That's a topic within itself. Would the driver be responsible for killing the kid and injuring him? Or
yeah, why didn't you shut it off?
Would the judge say, who's responsible for having this race? Did Shake and Bake throw this race? Did Greg put this race on? Was Greg driving? Man, that's a good question. I don't know how that's gonna turn out.
Okay.
Well, when Willie Dogg is on the microphone, Willie Dogg, he on there, he will completely insist that no cars will go down the track if you don't get behind that line or get on the other side of the wall.
Yep.
He would definitely make you do that. I mean, you could hear him when he, at any time you see hear him on the mic, he'll tell you in a minute, look, we ain't going to run nothing. Y'all get behind the wall. He'd be hollering out there letting them know.
Okay, Shake, y'all listen at this then. Suppose you was in the street. And just like I'm out here right now, and I tell you, I said, well, you know, I'm going to run both of y'all one Thursday and one Friday night. Now, I leave here and come out there to race both of y'all and wind up somebody getting hit with my car or with your car, who you think gonna be in trouble if you go out there and race?
Hold on one second. I know. Y'all got okay. Two topics here that's really beefy. I don't want to keep jumping from one to another one. Let's go back to that other topic. That topic where they was racing, Greg said they was racing at an old airport. If they was racing at an old airport, who's at fault? Now, did somebody put on a race?
Yes.
That means it's a promoter.
That was a sanctioned race.
What you mean sanctioned? That
race was broadcast on the news, on the TV, in the newspaper.
Right.
So it was set up for the people to come out, and they was actually promoting the race that they had rented the airport. So this was not something that they just did one weekend. This was a weekend that was set up by the promoters who promoted it, and it came on. It was a legit race.
Okay. Okay, now let's rehearse this. You say it was a race in Texas where it was a promoter put on this race.
Yes.
Now, if the promoter puts on this race and it was at an airport, there's no barricaded barriers where it can separate the car from the spectators. When somebody, and you say somebody got injured, or some people got killed, some little kids got killed because the car got out of control, that promoter is in trouble. Because you can't cover this up. You can't just sweep this up under the rug. Two people died, if I'm not mistaken, you said two kids died, some other people injured.
And one lady just died today. Which made it three people that's dead.
Three people dead, several injured. Promoter is at fault. Now, those people that got hurt, that family, can get a lawyer, and they'll be all up that promoter's pants leg. They really would.
Well,
because when a promoter, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at it like this. Now, whoever promoted the race, I feel that they should get fined, and whoever allowed them to come there that owned the airport and allowed them to come there and race, they should be fined too. But still, at the end of the day, I think the driver, because you you're looking down the pike, straight down the pike. Now, you know anything can happen to this car if you leave with this car. People are onside that thing. So you left. You understand what I'm saying? So the only thing I can do is find the promoter and find whoever owns the airport. But the guy that's driving that car, I mean, he shouldn't have never went down there. He can see all them people on the side right there. So he got that steering wheel in his hand and that gas pedal. So still in my book, I mean, I got to figure out how he is not going to be the one that fought.
Okay. Now let's add that to it. I said that the promoter was in trouble. Now the driver going to be in trouble also because he's the one committed that caused the death, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
His car
mm-hmm.
caused the death. Now, the promoter's going to be in court. I can see the judge saying, who authorized you to put this race on? They're going to pull. Now, is this airport an old closed-down airport?
No, this is a legitimate airport, but they the two lanes or one portion of the airport was no longer being used. So that part of the airport was allowed to run the track, allowed to have this race put on. So therefore, you're right. They didn't really set it up to actually make sure that the spectators were safe.
Right. I can see the lawyers eating that up right now. They're gonna go after the airport, the promoter, and the driver. Good God Almighty. Took three people killed and several injured. For those that don't know, when a promoter throws a race, it is his obligation to have insurance to cover stuff like that. Now, when they have races like at Milan, 131, you're supposed to have insurance, because I noticed on the East Coast, in your area, Unknown, they're good for making people get insurance for that particular event.
But, you know, most of the things here, like when we go out there and get ready to have a grudge race or whatever, now they ain't going to let nobody go nowhere. You know how people come running out there behind the car, all around the car and all that? The people that own the track, they cut them cars off. And you ain't going nowhere until you get back. So that's what they do out here. I'm not going to say every single car, but the majority of them. You getting up out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting behind a certain distance. You know?
Yeah.
And I want to use a little small short term real quick. Listen at this little short term. Okay, now, I own these buildings right here, right? And I got a guy that's working up under me, you know, getting all the people, you know, in place, you know, the people who do brick work, the people who cut hair and all this and that. So he's like a promoter. And the person that owns this is over him. Now, I go in the barber shop one day and trying to get my hair cut. This guy's supposed to be a professional barber. And I show him something up on the board, how I want my hair cut. But then he can't cut it to that right there, but he already don't mess my head up. So who going to be at fault? The guy that messed my head up? Who going to be at fault of that? The guy that messed my head up, didn't cut it right? Or the promoter that, you know, went around and got all of them, you know, inside of the buildings? Or the person that owned the buildings? Or, you know, I'm looking at the guy that cut my hair. You know you couldn't cut it like that, so why would you cut it like that? Same thing going on that race.
That's what I would look at, too. That's what I would look at, too. Unknown is the guy that cut your hair.
And the same thing that going on in that racetrack. Now, you know, your car might get away, you know, whatever. So why are you going to take off?
Come on in, Willie Dog.
Hey, how you doing, Shake? The incident y'all talking about, we did have a real lawyer on my show that last week and talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And what he said was, the person that owned the property, the promoter, and the driver, all would be, they said they try to get everybody they can. They said the least person that might get charged would be the driver. Because what they say is they go for everybody that was involved with it, and whichever one got the best insurance that'll pay off the most money without the fight, that's who they go with. About that. We had a professional lawyer on my show Monday about this.
Now, go back and say that last part. You said something about whoever got the most insurance. I didn't quite catch that.
They said, well, what I'm saying is whoever got the best insurance and it's going to put up the least fight, that's who they're going to go at, whatever, because all they want to do is worry about trying to get as much money out of whoever they can in that incident.
Oh.
So that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Ooh.
So the people that own the airport, the people that own the promoter, and whoever got the most money, I'm on a hook. Whoever owning land might have the most money. They better have some good insurance, because that's probably who they're gonna go at. Whoever got the most pay, and that's what the lawyer said.
You're absolutely right, dog. Because that lawyer is money hungry. They're gonna go after the
right.
big pocket. The airport got the biggest pocket. The promoter don't, and the driver don't. So they're gonna probably go after that airport. Why?
Because
yeah,
I think I heard that known since somebody driver. See, on it, when the lawyer came on, I asked the same question, because they would say they'll charge the driver. And then I said, this is what I asked. I said, if the driver was participating in a sanctioned race, which it was sanctioned, and he was legal, went on the street doing it illegal, why would they even charge the driver? The lawyer said they charge everybody they could involve, and they're going to get the one with the most money they think with the least fight.
Ooh, wait.
Yeah.
Now that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
You are there. You got your car, dog. And you lined up, getting ready to take off. And your car gets out of hand and hits the spectator. Now you can sign that piece of paper, that waiver and all that stuff, but that still gonna get you out of a lawsuit.
Right, right. It ain't. It won't get you out of a lawsuit. But the thing about it, the thing that's on the driver's side that'll help him, even though he can't get sued, is that he wasn't doing it illegal. He was at a sanctioned event. And that's what I think somebody kept saying. They're going to try to get the promoter. They're probably trying to get the promoter as much as they can, because normally the promoter might have some money. But like you said, they rented the airport, and whoever owned that airport land and all that, that's who they are probably trying to get the most out of, because that's who probably got the most, probably. We had a professional, unknown. I thought you was on the show Monday. We had a professional lawyer that came on and explained all that to us, Shake, because we was worried about it too. Now, I didn't hear about it. You said a lady got killed too. A lady finally died from that stuff too. We know about the two kids. It was two kids. I didn't know about the lady. Did the lady die later on?
The lady died today, from what Rick was talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know where that was at in Texas?
It was some song with a K or something like that. You know, it was all over the news and everywhere on Facebook and everywhere. Keysville or Kirksville or some stuff like that. Keysville, something like that. Some song with a K.
I didn't get to that point, but I mean, I see what you're saying. The man got the most money. I don't blame him. I'll go after him too.
Yeah. But unknown, I thought you was on the show Monday. You didn't hear the lawyer? You was on the show Monday?
No, I didn't get to that point, man. I got knocked off, man.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes I gotta work two situations out here to stay alive.
Yeah.
I get put out and I'm gone. But Shaq,
it was all over the news and Facebook and everywhere, man. It's rough, you know. But they said now you get the right lawyer, that it might be some mitigating circumstances, because they said that you as a spectator should know not to be, you partially at fault too, because you was in an unauthorized place where you know cars coming down there, and you took partial responsibility for being down there too, Shaq.
Yep, that was one of the issues right there, Woody Dog. They were saying the same thing. Where the people were situated at the track, or at that airport where they were situated, that could be a legitimate factor in that accident being caused. Because like you said, it might have been a no-prep track. They ain't prep no airport.
You found it? Did you find it?
Hey, Greg. Fellas, I got Atomic Dog on from Texas. Somebody got some radio TV on in the background.
Hold on. That's me. I'm watching the game. Hold on.
I mean, this stuff is good to know, because I mean, it can happen to anybody any minute. You know, we out here, got to watch, got to be paying attention.
Tracy,
yeah, I mean, yeah. What's happening, dog? Yeah, I'm on here.
What's up, Atomic Dog?
Not a whole lot.
What part of Texas
that was in, Atomic Dog? That happened, it was down past San Antonio, down by Victoria. You know, a lot of us don't even go there. I didn't even know they even had a track down there. But that's that wasn't a track, was airport. So, yeah. So I'm not even sure the group that was down there putting it on, but kind of sad thing that happens. Why they go to?
So was it a no prep race?
It probably was one of them, you know how the no prep guys, they'll be trying to be secluded and they'll go out and have races and only let selected group of people know where they're going and what they're doing. It's that type deal, man, you know. They be doing it, be feminine and stuff like that. But I guess they just went to the Air Force base out there. Not really a racetrack, because it's just the Air Force base, you know.
Well, they do some stuff like that up here too, where they'll rent an old track,
not a track, but an old airport, and they'll go out there and race. Now, there's no barricaded wall to protect the spectators.
No.
Guys just lined up, and when one of the cars got out of hand, it must have just, it killed two people or three people as of today.
Yeah.
The lady just died today from what we were told.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even see how they get away with that stuff. That stuff's dangerous the way they do it, man. But...
Well, let me ask you, Atomic Dog, who you think would be the lawyer would go after? The driver, the promoter, or the airport?
A good lawyer is going to go after all three of them.
Dang. That's what they dog said. That's what they dog said. A lawyer ain't gonna turn down no money. He gonna look on all three rocks.
Yeah.
Whoever got the most money with the least fight, that's who they going at. Whoever got the most money with the least fight,
that's right.
Is who they going at.
Yeah.
Good God Almighty.
Hey, now do they? Let me say this. Do they impound the car once? Cause remember, when that car hit those kids, it killed them instantly. Do they impound
the
car at that particular time, or do they wait until
they probably would have did it for the investigation. But like I said, he wasn't doing nothing illegal. It was a sanctioned event that they had approved, but they'll probably get it just for investigation, you know.
They always, Greg, they always, if you notice accidents here in Detroit, when an accident happens, person goes to gets in the EMS and they take them to the hospital, the cop stays around. They rope it off. If they get word that person died, they're going to send for the investigators to come out and draw the chalk on everything, and they're going to do a thorough investigation. If the hospital says stable, they get to go home. I've watched that several times. When they say it's stable, then the cop will tell the tow truck driver, take the car, move, go on about your business, and everybody clear out. But they're going to take that car just in case. They have to do a thorough investigation on what really killed them.
Just like anybody else,
Shake, they said it had barriers up. They just didn't have barriers down there. It was past there. Eighth of the quarter, whichever they was running, it just didn't have. That's why they said the people that was down there is partially at fault too, because they shouldn't have been in that area where the car was coming at. That wasn't barricaded off.
Okay. Yeah. I see. The judge is gonna look at that as okay. Is the airport at fault? The driver at fault? The promoter at fault? Or the spectator?
If they said they was at any kind of fault, all that does is mitigate. Say, for instance, you was going to get $1 million. They might not give you but $800,000 now. I'm just using that for an example. You know, they can always take off something if you had any fault in it, too, though. That's all that'll do.
Exactly.
You got to take partial blame for something like that.
That's messed up.
You see, a good lawyer, like I think Tracy was saying, a good lawyer going to try to fight for his client as hard as possible. He's going to say, what mother would be had any kids out there then? And, you know, it's going to make it look bad. I mean, there's two little kids got killed. But they're going to say, what mother would have their kids down there in an unprotected area like that anyway? They're going to try to make the mother at fault in that blame, too. Or the father, whoever had them out there, you know.
You know, some years ago, we had a big accident here out on 210 like that. And a whole bunch of people got hit and killed. And they put the driver in jail, locked him up for, you know, a lot of years. You know, so that's why I was saying the driver, you know, I figured that, you know, they're going to get him over everybody because he shouldn't have never
down. It depends on the circumstance of how it happened, depending on what happened. You know, he could have been, was he doing something illegal? Was he drunk?
Drag racing out on the main highway.
If he was drag racing, his ass in trouble. If he was drag racing.
That's what they're doing. They took the car, locked him up, they did it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was people still
there. Now, they look for somebody to be illegal, because that's the one they're going to throw the book at.
Yeah.
Under
so
the influence.
So would you be illegal racing at that airport?
If it was a sanctioned event, it ain't illegal. That's what I'm saying. It was a sanctioned event. It's just at the airport. A promoter and all that, it was a legal event. It's just that it was a no prep race that was, wasn't even good as a regular no prep race because it was a makeshift no prep race, but it was still legal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, they got some no prep races that be just as good as a regular race. It just be on a no prep surface. They had a makeshift surface out there, but it still was legal because they said it was a sanctioned event by a promoter.
Yeah, that made a difference.
Yeah, it makes a difference. Yeah. So the driver wasn't doing anything illegal. He wasn't doing anything illegal. He just, you know.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if I'm ever coming out again, but that's my thing. I'm looking, pay attention to myself. It don't look like it ain't going down.
Well, you got to use common sense too. I mean, you know, we don't want to mitigate or say that that's wrong because people got killed. But you got to look at it just like we do the same shit when we street racing. We go down there. What dumbass gonna be on the street racing and down at the big end when them cars come through there? You just like a damn, just like a bowling ball. That car get out of shape and get it rolling. Everybody on that big end just like a bowling ball pin. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah, but I don't think I want nothing to do with that one, crashing into people, you know. I mean, you know, it can happen. Split second.
Like I said,
you're right.
You know, it always the better something. Somebody always got to pay the price to better something. I mean, I reckon they won't do that shit no more. Next time they'll try to make it better or safer or whoever going to race. I know not to have them people down there on that end or something, you know. It always got to be some tragedy for it to be some good, for some good to come out of it.
There you go. You got to come on your doorstep first.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's sad, though. You know, them little kids, you know, gone. But, I mean, the person that had them there, they should know better than that anyway. You must never get out of the way of a car. Once that car get out of control, you might as well go ahead and catch it. Your chicken, because your head's going to hash.
Yeah, see, just like when I be working at the racetrack regularly, and I be telling them, you be having the ladies out there with their damn babies in their arm out on the starting line. Hey, man, get your baby off the starting line. Because then anything can come out from there. A flywheel, a tie come off, any damn thing.
Yeah.
Explosive.
Yeah.
They out there with babies in their arms and shit, man.
And that's really stupid. That's really stupid.
Yeah.
We've seen a video where Dumpmaster was in the right lane at some track, and he was doing a burnout. And the people standing around the car, something came off the engine, flew up under the car, and hit two people. Now, we're looking at the video. That could have been the lady and the baby.
Well, one thing, you ain't getting out of the way. Let me put it that way. You can't move fast enough. You ain't getting out of the way now. Crazy.
Well, dog, you've been to a bunch of witch races at the trick or treat, and you know how they like to pile up around it. That first night, they was piling up around it, but that they witch got a hand of it, and he had security, and they had to rope the area off and keep people out.
We get mad when they tell us to get back, but we out of words anyway. We know we shouldn't be out in the damn way, but we still just be out there in the damn way. Then when somebody make us move, then we're going to get mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, see, as soon as somebody get messed up or something, then everybody wants to win. We should start doing it our damn self, getting the hell out of the way. Once your car done ran or whatever, get the hell out of the way. Why you got to be right there in the door looking at, I mean, you know, we shouldn't be up there, me included. You know, I'm guilty too. I'm guilty too.
Yeah.
But that's the culture we got it, man. Just something like that happened. Everybody gonna keep doing it. Everybody gonna keep doing it. If something bad happened to somebody, we know. Yeah.
Yeah, and we pray, hope that I'm nothing really far.
Right. But
yep. I tell you, man, you don't know what's going to happen. And it ain't, like I said, there's no getting out of the way. I don't give a damn how fast you are. When she makes his move, that's it.
And see, Shake, since we talking about this and shit, it's going to get worse now with that glue. You see how many people done got stuck on that glue, and the joke will be backing up sometime and run right over their ass because they done got stuck on that glue or some shit?
Yeah, yeah.
We had two people get stuck today. It just so happened they didn't get ran over, but they damn near got ran over. But they'd be back behind them damn cars or up on them cars and get stuck in that damn glue and shit.
Let me ask you a question, dog. When it comes to the promoter or the track, who's responsible for saying to it that them people is out of that starting line?
It's a joint. To me, it's a joint effort. But if I had to really put the blame on anybody, I'll say who should it be? I'm gonna say it's the track. Because it's your track, you should have security or the people in place to make sure that the people that where they should be out of the way where they're supposed to be at. They shouldn't be in place where they shouldn't be. So I'm going to put it mostly on the track. If you're damn
people. Got all that noise,
man.
Somebody's rolling dice?
I don't know.
I would say the track, Shake. I mean, because it's your track, and normally it's going to come down to your responsibility to make sure everybody's safe and everything, so... Even though the promoter might rent it, they don't let the promoters get the track out right, so they go 50-50. So if it's my track, I think I should be able to put people in place to make sure people are not where they don't need to be at. So I think it's the track's fault.
Now, unknown. Do you feel the same way? You think it should be the track or the promoter?
Well, they up there calling everything, so you know what I mean. I mean, they can stop everything. You know, so I look at it like that, too. They can see out there. They can stop everything they want. So I feel the same way.
I'm going to be a devil's advocate. I'm going to be biased about this. Now, does the promoter, ain't the promoter supposed to be responsible for the safety and well-being of the racers on the track and the spectators, too? It's his show.
Good question, Jacob. But you got to realize, how was the contract wrote up? Is the contract wrote up that the track's supposed to buy for security or vice versa, or do you supposed to provide?
Yep.
Whoever's supposed to provide their security, that's who the blame for that damn thing on the start line.
That's what I'm getting at. And a lot of tracks is gonna try to put the weight on the promoter because they don't wanna hire that extra police officer in security.
Yeah, but the promoter the track might try to do that. The track might have tried to do that, but the track is getting proceeds 50-50 with the promoter. The good lawyer gonna tear all they tail up. You can't get the money and don't get the responsibility, the liability.
All right.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Check y'all listen at this for a second. Now, I went to the track earlier this year down at Buzz Creek down there, and what happened? It rained out that first week, and the next week they didn't know whether they won't get enough people. So what the track did was shut down one whole side. I asked them, I said, why y'all got this over here shut down? I said, you know, we usually come back up right here and do what we're going to do, me and Coolers and all. They said, well, we don't have security. You know what I mean? To watch
the side. Wait. Unknown, you lost me. What side, where they got it shut down at? The one side of the track or the area?
Listen at this. They got bleachers on both sides of the tracks, right? So
this
particular time, after one week it had rained out, I went there the next week, and I asked them, why y'all ain't got this side over here open? They said, we don't have security over here to open this side right here. So everybody had to go on one side. So the track got a lot to do with whatever's going on, you know, with races and whatever. They can shut down what they want and open up what they want. That's why I said the track, you know.
Like I said, Chick, it's going to come down to that contract, but I would think, regardless of what the contract said, it's that track, the track should have responsibility for the safety of the patrons. You know?
Yeah,
I think so, because
the track got more to lose. We're talking a track versus a promoter. Somebody get killed at your track. Let's just use my boy, Bobby Wildchild. somebody gets killed at his track, his name, his track, way more of a difference than a promoter. I wouldn't want nobody to get killed at my track or in my house.
Well,
I think both
of
you pretty much.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
You understand what I'm saying? I would think
yes,
the track would have the biggest responsibility. Now, based off of Dog saying that contract, if I was a track owner, I would tell Willie Dog, you got to get some security and some police officers here if you're going to run your event.
Right.
If Dog don't do it, then I need to.
If Dorita says the track, if I wasn't driving, I'd get a track on here and let him tell you about it. But from what I know, just like down at the House of Hook, I'm going to use the House of Hook, they have 6 to 8 police officers out there on our regular 10th and 2 night. So I know damn well ain't no promoter. Ain't no promoter out there on Thursday night. So, and they had the police officers there to control the crowd. So I look at that and say, damn, the track is the one that's responsible for the control of the crowd, which I still say it even if they had a promoter, but on Thursday night, they have anywhere from 6 to 8 policemen out there to control the crowd on Thursday, just regular 10th and 2 night.
Hey, Willie Dog.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
yes,
let
sir.
Me ask you a question. Now, when after they do their burnout at the track, everybody want to use their cameras or their cell phones to take the video of both the vehicles or one of the other, and they just walk right up back up in the front. How do you control that? How do you control when you tell somebody because you're too far in front of the line, get back, and
in
they tell you get out
in
my
way.
I don't want to hear that mess.
Okay, in a way, it depends on who's doing it. Now, if you're just a regular guy there, just like per se, just a regular guy taking pictures or whatever, then you got a problem. They can make you move, but they got a lot of people that's authorized to be out there, media people to take the pictures and everything of the cars. So, you know, those they are authorized people out there. So they take the responsibility some kind of way. If they get hurt, they just get hurt, the way I look at it.
Okay, now I need everybody's attention for a second. I'm gonna reiterate this whole subject. There was a race in Texas, at an airport at we got some noise. Mute your mic for a second, fellas. Mute your mic for a second. Okay. God damn. Okay, I'm going to reiterate it right quick because I got a special guest on the show. There was a race in Texas. We don't know what city was, but it was a no-prep race from what we understood. It was at an airport. And the promoter put on the race, and one of the drivers took off, had an accident, went into the and hit some of the spectators. 2 kids got killed. We just found out a lady died today. 3 people dead, several injured. Now, who's at fault? Is it the spectator at fault, the promoter at fault, the driver at fault, or the track at fault? That's one of the questions we're asking here tonight, and we want to get everybody's opinion. And we have tonight on the show Bobby Wildchild, my man, my brother, my friend that has his own track, and we want to get his opinion on it. And Bobby, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Give us your opinion on
Well, is the track responsibility to try to keep everybody safe? And that why they got guidelines set up for all tracks to go by. I know y'all remember when I was running from the hole, the insurance company wanted me to stop. And some of it had to do with guardrail. The other part have to do with the stationary object in the middle of the track, your Christmas tree. Most tracks got Christmas trees, and they got them protected with barriers or some kind of wall or whatever. Uh-huh. that considered to be hazardous. Now, is the trike responsibility to try to keep everybody safe? That's why your fire marshal come in there, and they try to make everybody you to go by the guidelines. I know some people say, well, NHRA, this and that. And not so much the NHRA, it's the insurance company. We have a yearly inspection every year. That guy comes and he walks that track all the way down from the starting line. He asks questions. They want to know how wide the tracks are. See, by law, track like mine is old. You're subject to keep the people 20 feet away from the race surface. You don't see most tracks. The newer tracks, you're by law, you are required to keep the spectator 40 feet away. That's why you see grandstands and the people are further away from that. Now, as long as you're within them guidelines, then the insurance company will do what they're supposed to do, you know, whatever it's protect the track. Now, if you kind of like violating, you know, it's kind of like on the track owner as themselves. So I saw that deal down there. To be realistic with you, I know we sign waivers and things, but everybody know that waiver ain't about good enough for you to wipe on them, because you can sign a waiver, they still can come after you. You better have your good law. You better have some good insurance. That's what I'm saying. But yes, the trike. If the promoter got insurance, that's good. That's trying to protect him, you know. But you know, you got to have the right amount. That's you over there, Willie Dog.
Yeah, I'm on.
That sounds like a Willie Dog. You got to have the right amount of liability to make sure that you are covered for stuff like that. But the bottom line, the trike is responsible for keeping, especially the spectators safe. And they was in violation. I can tell you that. Number one, the people was too close to the concrete. I mean, well, to those water, they wouldn't. Them things were filled with water, with my understanding, and they wouldn't concrete. You know, so that's why you see racetrack set up. The cars run away from most of the time they run away from the spectators. You know, if you know your grandstand ain't too far down there in the danger area where the cars in the high speed. Most of your grandstands are up here at the beginning. And
right.
You runs away from the spectators. You don't run to them. That's why they don't. Most track you got. Even people don't even know this. A lot of people, especially bracket race, they love to go down the racetrack and warm up their cars on the return road. They're not even supposed to warm them cars up on the return road. They want you to take them cars, jack them up on the jack, and that's how you warm them up. They tell you 5 miles an hour in the pit. You don't go down the return road. Number one, if the pyramid is not there, you ain't supposed to have no car going up down that turn road or even going around in the circle until the pyramid get there. But it's a violation to pass that ETC and go down there to the end of that track and warm your car and come back, especially if the pyramid is not there. But the only thing I'm going to say on this, I'm going to shut up. But that track, they are responsible. Well, I don't care whatever you done turn it into or whatever. They are responsible for keeping them people safe.
Okay. The reason why I brought this up, we've got another special guest on the show, but he's just listening. There was a race in Texas. We don't know the city, but there was a no-prep race, and two kids got killed. And as of today, a third lady finally died. That was we was trying to find out who's at fault. Was it the spectator, the driver that hit the people, the promoter, or the it was at an airport, or the people at the airport? If anybody got any questions, Bobby Wildchild gave us a damn good answer on what we should do and who's responsible. The track has to have the responsibility of making sure everybody's safe. I really appreciate you, Bobby Wildchild. You are out of Georgia, Albany, Georgia. You have your own racetrack, and I feel like I can trust and talk to you anytime about stuff like this. And I really appreciate you. If you can stay on, we appreciate it. We might have somebody want to ask you some questions.
Okay. But I just want to say this. Hey, I appreciate it. 9 years and 2 months, I no longer own you. It's not Team Dragway. Closed the deal only the 28th of this month.
Really?
It's gone, though. It's gone, though. Yes.
Yeah, I know you Bobby. Told me last week you were trying to, I know you told me last week you were trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
Well, your son Shake and Bake should have been first in line, Bobby. You should have put it. You should have gave it to your son Shake and Bake.
Well, Shake and Bake, you could have been in line if you had had that money.
Hey.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
I ran into some money, so I don't know if it was enough, but I ran into some. Well, as of you said, October win, Bobby.
I closed out on the Thursday. This past Thursday, 28th.
Oh, the
28th.
Man. I
had plans. Free at last.
Yeah, I'm going to say something. Everybody think running a racetrack is okay. Bobby tried it because that was his lifelong dream to do one. He did it as long as he could do it. It was fun to him. When it wasn't no more fun to him, he did the right thing. He's retired and everything. He should be enjoying his life instead of stressing. That racetrack was putting more stress on him, like I said. So,
yeah.
Bobby did what he wanted to do. He don't have no regrets right now. He did what he wanted to do.
And Bobby, I understand. That's a big responsibility to run in the track. There in Albany, Georgia, I've seen you. I watched you, time when I was there. It's a big responsibility. People think these shows that we do is easy. This is a responsibility, and Dawkins can attest to that. These shows ain't that easy. And I know what running the track is a lot worse than these shows.
Shake. I'm the first one to tell y'all when you got it. I said, these shows is a job, too. Y'all think they're just fun and games and get on there. It's a job, too. It becomes a job, too.
It is.
But, Bobby, one more question came up. Shake didn't ask you that we was talking about. Steph Elson, Bobby, you have a media personnel. You got a media personnel at your track that can take the pictures and everything. What if they get ran over while they taking pictures and stuff? What's going on if they get ran over?
Okay, they have to sign a waiver too. But you can kind of like backpedal them a little bit if something happens to them and one of them get killed or something like that while they're taking those pictures, because they know that they are in violation when you that close to that wall. You're supposed to have people, that would just say, let's talk about the new track. You're supposed to have people 40 feet away from them cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now when they sign that waiver, they got a different waiver they sign. They got a different waiver. The waiver
so
they sign, let you know. Yeah, huh?
So they're sort of like personnel. They would be in the realms of personnel.
They not in the realm of personnel in a way, because they kind of like, if they're not working for you, you didn't hire them, they're not personnel. What they did is they got a special waiver for the media to sign. They got a special waiver for them. I don't know whether all tracks do or not, but when you get in between that fence and next to that wall, it's just like us when we get in them race cars and go down. That just letting us know point blank when you get in a race car, you don't know if you're gonna make it to the end or not. So the same thing with them, even gets a little bit more danger with them. So they, you saying, because when that's why they say media, and you over there and you get ran over, you think about the people going over there to Afghanistan, they get shot and killed. You went over there and got in that danger, okay? It's the same thing. When they go over there and get between that concrete barrier and that fence, hey, you kind of like saying, hey, I'm on my own. I am accepting responsibility, you know, for getting in here. See, really, fans don't have to sign a waiver, but I make them all sign. But when you get in that race car, that's why you got that tech card. It's telling you what you're doing. You read the tech card. It's telling you what you're doing. This sport is, you know, could be injury or death. That waiver said the same thing, injuries or death. So they're letting you know when you get in that race car and you sit in there and you get killed, you're taking a chance. So it's the same thing with that medium. When they go over there and they sign that waiver, it's the same thing as you get in the race car.
All right,
but, you know, people can still can try and sue them.
Who is that doorbell?
It would.
John Drag Nation News.
What's going on, man? What's going on, everybody? Bob just said it, man. Certain tracks, you got anywhere from 20 feet to 40 feet if you in between the fence and that wall. South Georgia Motorsports Park, they are death on it. They 100% death on it, man. On that paperwork, you don't sign, you cannot get out there taking no pictures, you know, in between that wall and that fence. So, but being part of the media, we know being toward the other end of the track. Now, there are some people, the smart people will use, you know, they long the big lens where they can film and they got enough room to get out of the way if they're down at the other end of the track. You know, if you got a long enough lens, you can film, you know, at the eighth mile, a little bit further than the eighth mile, all the way down to the tree, yeah, and be just as nice and clear. So, and as they come, and you can get out of the way. I think, what's his name, them, Indicut and them, they do a damn good job, and Forever Grudge, they do a real good job also, you know. So, it's being part of the media, it's...
Hey, Sean.
It is dangerous. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, for the record, you said Indicut, meaning Indicut is a photographer that goes around taking pictures and video, and yourself.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this for the record because we got people on the show that wants to know. You're a photographer out of Chicago.
Yes.
Okay. Good report.
It's definitely a dangerous job, but... For those that's out there with them cell phones, just want to, you know, be on the starting line and trying to film, it really ain't a good place to be. But the ones that know what they're doing, they know that it is a dangerous job being right there. I mean, dangerous place to be in there. And to piggyback on what you was saying, as far as the at the airport, anybody that's down at the finish line, man, them cars gonna they can do anything down there, go any way.
You know,
I never recommend anybody, you know, at an airport or anywhere there's no wall. I don't even deal with guardrails. I don't stand down at the other end if there's a guardrail down there. If there's no wall, I'm not down there. I can shoot from pretty much anywhere with the lenses that I have, you know. So any photographer that has a good any good photographer that's dealing with these dealing with race, you know, that can understand that's a dangerous job. I wouldn't recommend if I see it, you know, some people, long story short, man, it's a dangerous place to be down at the other end of when coming down through there.
And my boy Peso can attest to that because he was at, I think he was at 42 last year on the, he was about half videotaping and a car came over and hit the wall. You should have seen him get the hell out the way.
But he waited long, too slow to move. The car was heading his way. But when you're looking through that lens, you know, you're trying to film through
you
the
ain't
lens.
Have
and
much
look
time.
Through. Right.
You don't have much time.
That's it. It's easy to say, you know, it's easy for me to say that because I'm looking on the outside, you know, but being there, that car is moving real fast, man. And you just pretty much got to be watch everything you're doing, your whole surrounding, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like y'all were saying, on the top side of that track, those cars could barrel roll. I mean, I even know, I mean, you could, when a car barrel roll, wall or a dog, know this, and y'all do too, a wall or either guardrail, it ain't crap. when a car go to barrel rolling. When a car barrel rolling, it rolls right on over.
I said there was bowling pins down there. There was bowling pins on that big end like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And it,
wait, that,
and that car, I had one. I had one in one, but that car ran dog. It had a wreck. That car ran 620. That's all he was running, 620. That car barrel rolled 11 times and didn't even touch the guardrail. That one, the big end down there. I had one that went over the guardrail. He was up. I swear, y'all, I've never seen nothing like this in my life. This man had done slowed down to about 70 miles an hour. I don't know whether the shock broke or it was a blazer, top heavy. He slowed down to about 70 miles an hour. This car literally jumped off the ground and went over the guardrail. We got pictures of it. He was upside down and hit one of the light poles and cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Never touched the guardrail. You could see the car off. It looked like a toy or something. And you could see him sitting upside down trying to hold the steering wheel. And he was just that guy, like you were saying, my man, with those film that he had, that photographer,
mm-hmm.
He really was taking those pictures. He was taking that picture every move. I mean, he got a frame of every move. And we just looking, oh, my God, look at he upside down and holding the wheel. And like I said, even when he cut the light pole, never touched the wall. Never touched. He was probably 3 feet above the wall. Yeah,
we just had a car last night, man, in Vegas here. The car comes down through there, NHRA, and he couldn't run no more than what I think he had 1270 written down on the window. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had 1270, and he come through the turn. He come through the light. As soon as he come through the light, some come loose. It's like the whole rear end just locked up on it. The back tires just start just smoking from the car. It's like the whole rear end or something just locked up on them. The car went just sliding straight, and then the car just all of a sudden just flipped over on the roof, you know, and the wall is what pushed the car back toward the center of the track because he slid toward the wall, but he was upside down, and it pushed it right back over there. They pushed the car over, man, and jacked it up, and this morning when I left there, they had put the car in the trailer. Shocking, man. I mean, and he was already through the quarter mile. I've never seen that before. Just flipped over. For no, I mean, I just never seen that happen before. It's just some freak stuff,
and,
man.
Go ahead,
bud.
Y'all probably going to see some more stuff, too. They've been to crack down people on the start line. That was some of the safety meetings that they had. They come out. They got a thing. In Georgia, they got two. There used to be one fire marshal that come out, but now they got the fire marshal and they got a hazmat guy to come. Uh-huh. And I had two of each. The two fire marshal came and the two hazmat guys come. And you know, he told me, he said, I'm gonna tell you now. He said, it's coming. I'm telling you now. You might as well get ready for it. People will not be standing down here on the start line. He said, on all of these tracks, now, whatever. But he said, yeah.
I got the meeting coming up, Bobby.
Yeah.
Next weekend. That's why I can't make it to Mike's race on Friday, next Friday, the 5th. Yes, I got that same meeting with the track, man. They want to do something about the starting line, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been doing everything, trying to find flights and everything to get out of here on Friday night, man, or early Saturday morning. They got the same meeting. They want to do something about the people being on the starting line, man. And he was trying to make a point. It's only at grudge events. Same track, but only at grudge events.
Yeah. Yep.
They had a problem.
But that's a lie, though. That's a lie. All tracks I've been to, all of them got a starting line problem. All of them.
Yep.
Every track I've been to. Don't care
what
kind of
race. But they saying grudge because y'all know why. But all of them got it. You know, NHRA, the National Event, they will have it if the people wouldn't line them up there, you know, if they would allow them to come up there and get on the starting line. So. They'll True. Do it. But number one, it gets so strictly, that area real strictly, because you know you up there, you're not supposed to be up there. You're going to get hurt. And see that was the same thing. Y'all remember when Antoine Brown Ty came off his car and
yep.
went in there and killed that lady? But see, you know, all that was legal. NHRA, bam, whatever they got to do, you know, to try to, you know, certify that family, and that's what they did.
Yep. You heard nothing else about it either.
Mm-mm. That was it. They done deal.
Man.
Dulce, thought I heard the doorbell ring.
Yeah, baby boy, your mic is open.
But like I say, hey, dog, if shake and bake, I appreciate y'all, man, coming down and, you know, supporting. I can say this, and dog know it. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm going to say it again. As a black business owner, and dog know it, it is, I mean, we are so critical of one another. if anybody told me we was that bad, I would have said you're telling a lie. But that's some of the reason I want to get out too, because it is. I thought maybe your local people was maybe they just got this little attitude or think you're trying to do something hating on. But it is worldwide with our race of people. I mean, it is terrible. I mean, you would not believe the stuff I had to endure just from our race of people. It just I don't care. I seen
crabs in a barrel, buddy. Crabs in a barrel.
Yes, sir, boy. I can. You telling the truth. If you will, a dog would sit there and tell you when I first got the track, I done everything I could. I put concrete down. I put bleachers in. I put up concrete wall. And they find that every excuse. I even hired, what that boy name, or dog to come down, what his name, the little white boy to come and prep the track, Tyler Crossnode. You know, dog, I had y'all folks up there too, you know, Jimmy and Jerry Hall. They come in. I didn't have a problem. I had the guy from Bradenton, Florida prep the track. It didn't make a crap to me. And I told him, I said, I'll do whatever. But dog, dog, you said, he got a point. I told them, we would go to Hub City, and Hub City had guardrail. Fat Tuesday. And I'm over here got done concrete and concrete wall. Hell, and they still wouldn't come. And I told on dog show. I said, hell, I ain't got guard rails. I got black rails. That's all what it was. Because on them, difference between, it was a white track owner over there and a black track owner over here. And that was the only thing that was different. I told them, hell, I don't want prep. I'll hire you a prep man. Whatever you want to do.
Well,
so,
I told you, Bobby. The one that was doing all the complaining about this and this, everything they wanted you to do, you did. And like you said, they still didn't come. So I told you myself.
Didn't
I'd have told them to kiss my black ass.
You're right. I mean, I spent tons of money, and then they still wouldn't come. And I'm going to tell you, they'll go right to track near here. Knock the tires off, have rakes, you don't hear crap. Oh, my God. Hey, don't you remember, dog, I'm going to say this and be quiet. A guy car caught on fire at the end of the track, and dog know this, and Chicken and Bake do too. I'm sitting in between two fire stations, first responder station. The boy's speaker caught on fire in the car. Went down the track, hit the speaker caught on fire. Okay, you know, I got a fire truck. I heard people say he ain't got no fire truck. Well, I got one whole 250-gallon water. So I don't know what the hell it is. I reckon it's just a toy out there. But anyway, so we put the car out here. I had more big fire truck. Dog, you thought all buildings on fire. Them big, tall ladders and all them. And we done put it out because the boy washed it out, whatever, you know. And the boy, don't put no water in my car. Don't put no water. We got it. You know, because the box had blamed up, you know, flamed up. He just grabbed the box and snatched it out the car, throw it on the ground. But the fire guys, though, they boring. They want to shoot water. No, man. We pulled the car back to the thing and pushed it up on the trailer. I got a call, and they said that, why did I let this man car burn to the ground? And I told them, I said, this man car didn't burn to the ground. We pushed it on the trailer. You telling a lie. They said it burnt to the ground. Mm-hmm. But yet, they went to a track near here. The man race car burnt up, trailer burnt up, and nobody in the track didn't even have a fire extinguisher, and you ain't hardly heard nothing. Oh. Nothing. But I got ridiculed. I got ridiculed for
alone,
a man,
Bobby.
For
leave
a man's
alone,
speaker caught on fire.
Leave it alone, Bobby. Leave it alone, Bobby.
But I'm just showing you how you said a mouthful of crab in the bath. It was, ooh, Lord. I wish the new black owners all the luck in the world, but I had enough in 9 years and 2 months.
I understand, Bobby. It's gonna be a long, gotta educate, continue. We can't stop. By the way, who owns the track now?
It's three of them. They're out of Atlanta. Two of them is out of Atlanta, and one of them is out of Albany, the owners.
Okay.
Hey, Shake, I want to ask Bobby a question.
Go ahead, Greg.
Bobby, let me ask you a question. When your track was open and everything was running properly, and somebody pulled behind a car, a trailer that's already been there, he done gone to the line, come back, somebody done got their car parked in front of you or on the side of you or in by your trailer where you can't get your car back up in there. How do you respond to the black people who put their cars there and won't move them?
Well, you know, we be kind of like a little, first we be nice. That's number one. That's the first stage. We're nice.
Yeah.
Second stage, we get on, we call you again on the microphone, ask you to move. And then third, you ain't got no charge. Either we going to take that John Deere and get one of them flow jacks, and we're going to drag you, you know, down there, or you got the side of the road or whatever the case be. So if you want to see them come real quick, get your flow jack, go up Monday and jack that rear end. Yeah, jack that rear end up. And you know, you can't have waiting, but and take whatever you got, side by side or whatever, and just start dragging it out to the thing, and you'll see them come. And then if they want to act a little, you got security there, you know, because I have, you know, real law enforcement there. So they want to act a little fool, and you give them a free room to the motel or wherever you want to go, you know, on downtown
Let me speak on that, what he just said, because that's becoming a big problem. And what I mean by a big problem, the track owners, the promoters, or whoever's getting mighty goddamn greedy, because now they done start charging people to park over there where the racers should be parking. And so if I didn't pay $20 or $30 to park over there, Bobby, you know, I'm gonna do just like it. I'm gonna park anywhere out there I want to park. If you gonna make me pay to park over there, so shit, if I'm in the way, I'm just in the damn way. You should have let me over there in the beginning. My point I'm trying to make is these tracks and all these promoters and stuff, whoever getting the money, should stop letting people park over there where the racers park. Then you wouldn't have that damn problem. That'll cut out on a lot of that damn problem. The damn people that goddamn where the races.
But dog, even if you don't charge them, they still park there. And I know for years I've done it, and I have the same problem he just asked. I don't charge them. And then we tell them.
The point I'm trying to make.
I know
is
what you're saying.
We shouldn't have the regular cars parking on any pits with the damn race cars there, though. They shouldn't be able allowed to park over there at all. With the paid or not paid.
True that. Yeah. It's true
now. Yeah. Now, you know, we was at Orlando several years ago, and the golf carts was a problem. People was parking the golf carts everywhere, blocking people's race cars. And the next year, what the guy did was he started charging people $150 to bring your golf cart in. You remember that, dog? $150 to bring your race car in. And matter of fact, I think Uncle Larry was there. Wasn't you there, Uncle Larry?
He
on another line.
While I'm on here, I want to say this. I want to give you your prep, and I want to give my grudge racing partner. I want to give him his prop. Thank you, dog. Me and dog, we grudge race together. I thank him, and dog and my wife told me that, you know, my wife said you need to stop just worrying about folks. Because I had enough folks within a 60-mile, 60 to 100-mile rating to support that track. And I got to get, and y'all know dog, I'm going to put it in dog term. Dog said, F them mother, F them mother, and cater to your people, and stop taking your stupid ass out there and trying to get them. He said, Bobby, you done did everything. They ain't going to come. Do what you do. Cater to your people. Don't even worry about them. They think they're too good to come. Call too fast. Don't worry about them. And when I started doing what my wife said and dog, and that's when the thing took off. So I just stopped worried about all the big name and show brand cats and just hell and did what I had to do. And hey, and I was able to go on because I really was overlooking the people that was right there. I was trying to go outside. Y'all know what I'm saying. In the grudge world and get the grudge guys to come, and they wouldn't even study me. The only thing they were doing was back line talking. But when I catered to the folks that are there with the little one carburetor or the one tire pulling, they're telling the truth or whatever shit, the thing took off. So appreciate that, dog. You and I appreciate Shake Your Bank coming down. But I just want to give you flowers while you still can smell them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Right on, Bobby.
Appreciate you, Bob.
And when we talk about these incidents, we're gonna try not to call no track name. We just want to talk in general. We're going to try not to call no track's name if it's all right with you, not to call a track name.
Right.
Well, I apologize for calling that track name. I apologize for that, but...
No. I just say it because somebody going to go back and say we was over there talking about their track and dogging their track and it's going to start another damn problem in this shit.
Yeah.
Big Bang.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in life, no matter what you do, you're never going to do good enough. Even though you're doing bad, you still ain't going to do bad enough. So that's why you always fix yourself up so you can live comfortably and not worrying about these other people because they got their own mind. And they come in many fashions, many shapes, many forms, and that's what they want you to do. They want you to grab a hold of something just like a little schoolboy when you were going to school. If your pants was high water, if your hair was cut funny in a way, they laugh, make jokes at you. As long as you kept on paying attention to them, they was going to keep on making jokes. So that's why I'm saying you got to learn to go on with your life and seek what you're looking for and look at the big picture of the whole world. So I'm not going to let nobody spoil nothing for me too quick because God gave me 2 ears, 2 eyes, and a nose. And those are your senses. So if you can use them, keep on going. Don't let nobody stop you. That's what they want to do. You know, people love stopping you and love making you miserable. They're miserable themselves.
Something wrong with them. Show them the truth. Something wrong with them.
You know, I can keep on preaching, but I ain't going to do it. Yep.
Amen to that.
Let me tell you another one, Jack. Hey, Shake, let me tell you another one, Shake.
Hold on 1 second. Let me get this one call on here. 734-1056. Who we got, caller?
Woody Sloan, Onondaga Dragway. Okay. Sloan, Onondaga.
Hey, bro, Sloan. This is the owner of Onondaga Dragway, fellas. You back on, Sloan?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing? Yeah, I was listening to you guys, but believe me, I don't know if it's your race that causes it, but hell, I have the same problem with these guys. You know, it was a lot of fun. I had that track going for 1 year, and things are going good, but still, yeah, you just have people that do stupid stuff, man, and there's nothing you can do about it. I love first thing you do is you don't get on Facebook and start, you know, answering them back. They'll put stuff on Facebook and all that stuff. It's just racers have changed from the time when I used to race. I mean, we used to have a good time, but man, it's just gotten so serious and I just
picky,
exactly. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Exactly. So I just, while I was listening to you guys, I wanted to call in and put my 2 cents in.
Yeah, we had a subject last week, Woody, on the show with you on here, and that's another one. It seemed like they're going to come after us. They're gonna come after us no matter what, where, how, and color. We just got to put a dukes up and keep going forward. Like I told you last week, well, you got this Shake and Bake Grudge talk show, and me is a bag behind you. Bobby Wildchild had a track in Albany, Georgia, that I didn't have no problem with supporting. The brother was nice to me, pulled out the red carpet, and I show my respect back to him, and I'll do you the same way. I know this is the first year with your track, and I'm going to be there with you.
I know you. I know you've been with me all the way this year, and I appreciate it, too, very much. Yeah, I just got back when I talked to you earlier. I just got back from looking at another track. I told you last week I was going to look at one. So,
okay.
We might have another track here pretty soon.
Well, I don't want to say nothing.
Yeah, I don't want to say
nothing until
we get the deal done. But it's a good possibility we will have another one pretty soon.
Okay.
Like I told you last time, if anybody knows one that's closed down, I'm interested in it.
Does it matter
where? It don't matter where. I want to bring these tracks back. I want to bring them back.
Huh.
I don't want no tracks closing down. Hey, let me ask you guys.
We just missed yours, Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it closed?
Was it 28? No, I was still running.
Yeah,
somebody wanted worse than I did.
Yeah, was it open? Was you running it or was it closed?
Yeah, I was running it.
Yeah.
So
Bobby,
was in Albany, Georgia.
Are you gonna hang around Bobby as a coach?
Yeah, I'm
gonna just for a while. You know, are you just gonna turn it over to him and leave
it alone? Yes, I am. No, I'm on. They really green, so I'm gonna hang around as a consultant and try to help them. Making sure the smooth transition. You know, people don't like changes. So I just want to, you know, keep it going. Because the track is doing pretty good, but Dog can testify to that. And I just want to make sure they have a smooth transition and that they don't, you know, because, you know, if I just come out and say I'm gone, then you have a lot of people, you know, that you build that relationship with them. So, you know, I could go up to somebody, give them all the deal in the world. They don't do nothing but laugh, but they probably, you know. So I just want to, like you said, yeah, Dog, I'm going to hang around a while to try to make sure that they study, be able to go forward.
What did you run down there mostly? Did you run mostly grudge races or bracket races? Because I'm new at this, and I'm just learning. So any help?
I ran some of everything. I ran some of everything. There's no money in bracket racing unless you're going to, I don't care if you do a $100,000 bracket racing. I don't care what. And if you need 100 cars, $1,000 a car, you still ain't going to make no money because there's nobody going to come. Dog, you know, your man Jimmy up there, they gave away 310, you know, 10,000 Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever, he don't make any money off it because ain't nobody going to buy nothing at the concession stand because I used to be a bracket race. We bring everything we got to the track. We bring our own food. We bring our gas. And only thing we're going to do is pay that entry fee. And then we complain about everything. If the tree if your band ain't tightening the transmission, your car backed up, you want to put it on the system and all this. But you could do a Thursday night. I mean, well, not a Thursday night, anytime. Test and tune, that's pure money. That just point blank.
Yeah.
That's just, you know.
You're right. I think I run 4 or 5 bracket races, and I lost $1,000 at each one of them. Except the last one, I made a little bit of money.
If you didn't lose but $1,000, you was doing good if you didn't lose but $1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't lying. You know, but the key thing to a bracket race, you want to break even. And one of the things that I do, I ain't guarantee no purses. I tried that. That don't work. I always keep 25% or whatever they pay in, and then I do, and I keep the buyback money. And you might break even. And you want a bracket racer, the insurance is higher. Plus, then you have to have more employees. Because I mean, this yeah. I mean, it takes more people to even run one.
What happened to the people? I mean, it used to be the stands would be full.
Not with bracket races.
Well, 15, 20 years ago,
bracket races.
People don't on a bracket race. You can have 400 cars yeah. there and 10 spectators.
That's it.
Yeah.
Bud racing, well, you'll get more than a bracket.
Yeah. You could get more with testing to them. You can test it to them. You can say Bobby Charles and Willie Dog going to run, and they know Bobby Charles and Willie Dog teach you a pack stands at. You know, if they depend on other. But a bracket race, you can have, I don't care whoever they're, they're not coming. They just will not come. They're not coming to it. So you could forget that. So one of the other things that I got, and I got a stage, and now that's your extra money if you really, you know, you want to get paid. I'm gonna tell you the stage, you know, all the things. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you got, you know, the incline, you know, the weather could be a factor, but you can really make money. I mean, you know, I have with the stage down there, and then I call it the hole, the shutdown area. And I think Dog came down there one time too and tried that, but and he'll tell you the folks that will come to get off the street to race from the shutdown area of the track.
I came down there 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, we have for that, and you know he shows up and Dog's, I'm gonna try to shit too to free him, but it's a different type of racing, but it's what they call it, street racing in a controlled environment. So that's why it's so popular. You know, if you got the room to start maybe 200 feet from the finish line and send the cars away from the crowd, I think Montgomery got that, don't they, Dog? They're pretty good. They got enough. Montgomery got a place they could do that and run them away from your people, because you don't want to run them towards the folks. And that was some of the problem I was having, not quit. But you could say, I can say I'm gonna do a race from the hole, and you ain't gotta do to put it on Facebook. Probably just, hey, races in the hole, Sunday, gates open at 12 o'clock, we're gonna track on go hard and shoot. And man, you could charge them just like if it was a big race. I mean, it's crazy. But you make good money from it. So
it don't make sense.
So
it really don't make sense. You know why they would come to that, and yeah. But it seems like these guys, the more you're talking about them people getting hit, it seems like the people like it. The more dangerous it is, the more people will come.
It is.
You know.
It is.
Yeah, man, brother.
I mean, we have no preparation. I get on them guys to get back because they're up in front of the cars. They're doing burnouts
sure.
and everything.
Sure.
They break an axle, they're going to run over 2 or 3 people. You know. But they seem to like it. The more risk it is, the better they like it. It's the same way on the street, too. You'll have people all over the place, and it's dangerous as hell.
So tell the truth.
How long is your track? How long is your shutdown, Bobby?
That total track is 2,500 feet. The whole total track.
The total 2,500.
Now, if I can get the register from the trailer park, dog. It will be, he got 1,000 feet when everybody who owned the track sold a piece of it. If I can get that part of that trailer part, the track would be about 3,500 feet long, 3,500 feet. Which is about, just if you get that area there, which is about 15 more acres that will come with it.
Well,
how many acres do you have now?
Good 400 acres down there.
Okay.
Okay, well, get on it with a zero turn more. You see what time of year? We're about three of them out there. And the way the grass grows this year down here, good God Almighty. I usually would cut it every other week, but the grass was just hopping back up. But like when we go over and before we leave, it's like it was trying to come back up again. But especially when you cut it on a Wednesday, you come back on that Saturday going like, darn it, man, I thought it was going to be still laying down, but you know, you can tell it doesn't grow because we got a lot of rain this year. Not on the weekend, but just through the weekdays.
Yeah. So what, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So it looks like we're going to have to stay on top of the people coming into the starting area.
I think that's coming. So, and
because for some reason,
I wouldn't be surprised if they
like
don't.
They love to be right next to the car, right at the door handle. They love to be at the door handle. For some reason, it's just got wildfire. And if we can keep that
crazy
down, that'll be a plus.
You know what they do at my track? They walk through my lights. They get up there and trip the lights before the guy gets there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, when I raced, and I had fast cars, and you know what? I didn't need nobody to back me up. I didn't need nobody to pull me up. I could stage my own car, get out of the way, and let me race. That's what I wanted to do. But they want to get in the pack.
Well, you got to have about 17, you know, when the Gruish car for one car. And when you ask them, they come up, you got the law and all of them with that one car. And I can't figure out how you got to have 17 of y'all with one car running down the track. I had one. I know what you're saying. I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you said talking about trip to beam, I had one. They had they done put the bet up. They got a $3,000 bet, okay, three on each side. Okay, the boy was holding the money. Okay, I'm sitting over here looking. I got the button in my hand. I'm sitting there looking at him. You know, because they don't. One thing I don't do when you're grudging or whatever, I don't go there and try to push you in the groove. If I do, I'm going to put both of them try to help. But I just stood there and looked at him. He up there, they got this. He's standing and got the bulbs on, got both bulbs on.
Mm-hmm.
The other boy pull up. He turns on his bulb. So by that time, this fool get ready to walk back. When he walked back the car, I'm just going like, that fool got the bulbs on. So he walked back. When he got ready to walk back, you know, he cut off the top bulb. I hit the button. Hey, the other boy took off. You know, he does up and he cut his car. Mr. Bobby, I wasn't ready. I said, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I said, you go talk to your crew man. Well, who won? I said, who you think won? I said, that man ain't responsible for you to. Your man standing up there with both bulbs on, you ain't got no business with him up there. So don't come to me. So he won. I said, yes, he did. So the guy said, okay, that's all we need to know. Track official said he won. I said, yeah, get your man out the bulb. You don't know what they're doing. Walking wide leg, britches about to fall down. All the underwear showing. And you're walking wide leg, and you ain't never seen a race car before. So, hey, I dropped the button. Hey, case closed. I told him, get the next pair up here. I ain't finna argue with you. I got the microphone. Left lane one. Let's go next. Move your car, bro. Move your car. Either drop it down or push it back.
Hey, Unknown. Brother Unknown.
Yes, sir.
We had these topics on the show every Sunday. And it's good to have these talks on these shows because we ask guys how many people you need in your pit area. And some people will say two, three, maybe five, whatever floats their boat. But educate them. Teach them how to go up there and stage the guy. You know, you put that left foot in that light and it tricking the beam, then you know to step back a little bit. Just like Bobby said, we was at Memphis, Mike Hill, Bobby Cole's race, and it was a guy just walked up there and turned, put both feet in the lane, and turned the light on, and everybody was waving, get the hell out the way, move, you're triggering the light. He didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out, didn't know what the hell he was doing.
That's pretty,
and believe it
or
not,
tell you guys,
when you keep tricking that bulb, especially the older system, even the new one too, you keep tricking that. Let me tell you, every time you put your feet in that beam, you're telling that computer, okay, it's looking for you know the other side. When you take it in and out, now you're messing with the computer, because that beam down there talks to the computer up there in the tower. And when you putting your feet in and out of the beam, I seen some guy kick the beam on 3-4 times. Brother, the light done told you it's right there. You don't know where you put your feet at? He put the feet in the beam, take it out, put it back in, take it. And then have a, you know, with an older model computer like I got, it'll freeze it up. Then they go in there, what the hell? Man, you done kicked the beam 10 times. You know?
Exactly.
Most of the time, I just wait. I tell them to wait till they do a burnout. Do not hit time already. Let them get through kicking and running around, and 20 of them will turn on the nitrous bottle. Then when they get ready to start moving forward, they back up. Then you hit F10 saying time already. And that would save some of the stupidity of making the computer keep looking for something, then they go off. Looking for it, go off. You know, it's just like turning a light bulb off and on. You keep turning it off and on quick, it ain't going to come on.
Blow the bulb.
You must have an extra time.
No, I
what
got
kind
the TSI system.
Do you have?
TSI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine's the same way. It's a different system, but it does the same thing. And if it's a bracket race, they have to punch that up all back in again. And you got a guy sitting over in the other lane. But you got a guy on the other lane. I got to tell you guys this little story real quick. Last time I ran the bracket race, a guy made it 2 rounds, and then he got beat. He come up to the tower, and he said, hey, I ran off my dial in. And he said, I want to know what you're going to do about it. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I spun my tires. I said, spun your tires? And he said, yeah. I said, what do you want me to do about it? He said, well, I want you to do something. I said, so every guy spins his tires here, I let him back in? Is that what I do? Can you believe that? Walking back in because he said he's funny tired.
Yeah.
I said, man, I can't help you.
Hey, look at him. They shatter stage. The band ain't tied in the transmission. They hit the train brake button. They hit the button, and the car backs up, and the tree go red, you know, because the next motion supposed to be forward, not a backward motion when you got both of them bulbs on. So he backs up, turn the bulbs off, tree turn them red. Oh, he raised him more here than a paint-legged man. Ain't nothing wrong with my car. Okay, my dumb butt put him back in. Okay, you know, next time he come up, guys, I'm going to watch this crap this time and take my phone out to him and record it. Time he hit the tram brake button, the car backed out again. So you know what I told him? From now on, two things. You the dial in is on that board. If you pull off, it's yours. If you come up here and you get in them beams and that car back up, guess what? Do not come to the tower. Do not come up there. Hey, if it's another round by bike, you do that, or either I see you the next time we do a bracket race. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Hey, see you, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think there's something got to be done about this, and what's happening. I've been thanking my own self and listening to a lot of shows, looking at a lot of races, used to race myself. And so I see the only thing can be done about this that will really calm them down is to tell them, say, look, how many people do I think that we need, you know, to come up there with a car, 3, 2, or whatever, and that's all you're going to bring through that gate. And those are your people. If you bring more than that through that gate, we're going to back you up and you sit back there until you learn how to bring 2 or 3 in here. I mean, sometimes you got to get stiff. And if you don't get stiff,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to go ahead and just do what they want to do with you. And then another thing I want to drop before I go away, what I think is going to fill the stands up, you got to find a way to get mama and the babies back out there. Once you get mama and the babies back out there, you know, people, whoever want to come, then you're going to start seeing you some money accumulate.
But I have a lot of that now. I have a lot. My track is a family, but the track I used to own was a family-oriented track. Even when the mom and pop come, I look in the back, see, I see three kids back there. I say, hey, y'all two pay. Don't worry about the kids, you know, because they're going to visit the concession stand, you know. So that's the way I operate it. So you're getting kids out there, and, you know, because, you know, you have to give folks a break every now and then. Yeah.
They'll love you for it. They truly will. If they feel like they're getting something out of it.
Something got to be done.
Yeah, we got to get more spectators. That's just all there is to it. You don't get no spectators, you're not going to make no money.
Sure ain't.
That's mom and the kids.
There's a lot more stuff. There's a lot more stuff going on now. Number one is people don't some of the stuff that come out. Young people now are so disrespectful of your some of your people that come now. And hold on, y'all. Let me cut this thing down. And that disrespect the track. So you can tell I got up sign, no pull behind grill, you know, no weapon, you know, no guns allowed, all this and that. These young people sit right out there and they'll come, boy, and they'll be strapped. Then they want to walk around. Is you crazy? Go put your gun. Well, I can tote a gun. I got a permit. I said, you can't tote one in here. This is private property. I see it, no gun. And that's what I mean. So,
amen.
You know, I mean, they ride the motorcycle, want to ride the motorcycle with them on and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are real crazy,
crazy,
I'm telling you. So,
yeah
they
crazy.
What happened is so much more activities going on now. You got what skating and whatever, and a lot of people just what really is running away. A lot of the people at the track, I'm gonna tell y'all now. A lot of it is simple is the disrespect that the people are getting at the track, and that is what happened.
Yep,
the disrespect. People don't want to be around a lot of the disrespect stuff that goes on the track. Yep.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
They ain't gonna bring the. They're not gonna bring the kids out there.
Yep.
Well, I don't know, but you think about it like this: for $10 to come in and get 6 or 7 hours of entertainment, it's hard to find something like that. You know. You go to a movie theater. Hell, you buy popcorn and Coke. You're going to spend $50 time you get down. Yeah, if you take your girlfriend or wife or whatever. Yeah, I mean it's and you're out of there an hour and a half. So really, it's a good thing, but we just got to get people involved more, I guess. I gave away at last a lot of free passes because I don't want to see my stands empty. I want to see people there. If they don't even pay, I want them in there. Because I figure if they come enough, they're going to get to they like it. You know, they'll see somebody there that they'll want to come back and see the next time. I used to race round track cars. They were packed all the way around the track. Now they're just barely, this track has just got the stands in front. Fourth of what they used to have, and they don't fill them. I don't know. They quit going to those races too. So it's a strange time we're going through right now.
I got some ideas, Woody. I got some ideas.
Well, lay it on us, man. We need it. We need it. That's why I don't want these tracks. I don't want this to go away. You know, I used to love to go to a drive-in movie. There ain't no drive-in movies no more. Kids don't even know what that is.
Girl, don't. I don't even think we got any more here, do we? No, they all gone.
Yeah.
They all gone. Hell, we used to have an X-rated drive-in movie theater here. That's gone.
Now that should go good. that might go all right.
Yep, years ago we used to have that. There's nothing else no more.
No, no.
What you pay? What you pay?
Guys, it's nice talking to you, but I gotta go. So I'll catch you next week. Okay.
Okay, Woody. Appreciate you coming on. And
yeah, take care, man.
Look. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll be back on. I'll call you.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. That was Woody Sloan, the owner of Onondaga Dragway. Good friend of mine. He just bought the track, Onondaga, this year. It's been open all this year. Been doing pretty good. He's been doing there is no prep because the track ain't even got enough rubber down. He's got ideas and hopes and ambition for next year. So we're gonna do what we can to support him and keep it going. Because right now we've got a track here in Michigan. Our closest track is Milan, and it's been closed all year because somebody else is buying it. And that was the closest track to Detroit. And we still got Lapeer, but that's farther north, and we still got 131. So we lost the track, and we gained the track. You still there, Bobby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, it was good being on, man. So, hey, I appreciate it, and we're going to talk to y'all the next day.
Well, Bobby, I'm going to be calling you. I didn't know you had sold the track, but because I'm still, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm still planning to come support you. But see you, and I'll catch you at the track still. But,
okay.
Man, you don't realize how much plans I had to blow you back up. But we're doing a different way.
How did Bobby Childs Day go? How did Bobby Childs Day go?
Oh, great. It was great, dog. Man, I had a packed house. I had a packed house, dog. I had a packed house on both sides.
Okay.
Did he hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, he heard you.
I just answered some questions because Shake went to sleep on me.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, packed house, dog. Both sides full. Even down in my field were full.
Well, that's good.
Now, Bobby, that when you were giving them no prep races, how did you like that?
I loved it. You ain't got to spray no glue.
That's
money. That's just money down there.
Now, at your track, you started at the end of the finish line and came.
No, we started all the way to the end of the track and came back. You know, we was all the way to the end.
Okay. Because what we was doing here at Onondaga, we was starting at the starting line doing no prep. And your hood promoter for that, he's doing a good job at that.
There's some money in that stuff, too. Because they supposed to get one somewhere up the road. Was it in Michigan? They were giving away $250,000. They were asking for, I can't remember how many cars. Each car had to pay $1,000, and them guys will pay it. Because they were paying back eight plates. I think the eight plate car got was going to get like $10,000 or something like that. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've been monitoring some of the no preps. They got War in the Woods. That's down at the base of Indiana, 10 feet from Kentucky. And they was giving out a large amount of money, but it packed the house. Now, let me ask you this question. At your track, or at your used-to-be track, the no prep versus the prep,
there some kind of a confliction in between that? Is that why you started on the other end?
Street racing is just what it's all about. That's what people want. People want street racing. It wasn't too much of a conflict because a lot of it put cars even. You could take a family car and go down there and dog it to you, and you can whoop dog car with a family car because you got to learn to try to get the car to hook and stuff. It's a challenge, but people love it because I don't care if you got a pro mod, you go down there, you might as well stay home. That's why people love it. It put them on an even playing field. But a lot of them figuring it out, though. A lot of them figuring it out. They had a lot of weight to those cars. A lot of weight.
Now, my question to you is, if you didn't start at the other end, could you still do the no prep?
Yeah, I could do it, but you still got glue that doesn't carry right off the, if you start at the finish line, you got glue that doesn't carry. But it will probably shorten up things a lot more. Because at one time when I first redone the track, I started them at the 330. But it still was nothing like when we first reported the track, but it was nothing like coming from the other end. They just something, if you up there on the sticky side, they don't like it. If you go down there where there's no glue at, they love it.
Okay. So with the track that we got here in Onondaga, it's a new track and it ain't very much rubber down. They starts off right there. Now when we start doing the prep racing, that's gonna interfere with it. Am I correct?
What you mean? Because you go.
Let me answer that. Normally, shit, you could go from the Bobby track got famous for coming from the end because he had more people that wanted to go out on the street and act a fool like that. That's why it was more popular. You can start from the starting line on a no prep. It's just that normally what they do is they scrape this track from the starting line, but then that comes into a problem then because next week you want to have a damn prep rate, then you got to put some rubber down and then you got to put
that's
no damn rubber.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. So that Saturday we can only do no prep.
The way to do that, when you straighten the track, like dog said, you done straighten the track. Mm-hmm. The next week you need to do a bracket race. That will put the rubber back on the track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then not after the bracket race, but the week after, we should do prep.
Well, if you straighten the track. Just say you straighten the track the first weekend, and you do your no prep. And even if you come back that Sunday, mostly say the next Saturday. Next Saturday, you do a bracket race, and that's gonna lay the foundation, lay that rubber back down smooth. And then if you want to have a no prep that Sunday, you good for it. You can do it. You can do it that Sunday.
Hold on one second. When you said Saturday, a bracket race, they put the rubber down, so then Sunday I can do a prep race.
Right.
Okay.
Shake, that's what I'm finna address, Shake. I'm finna address that. Bobby ain't got this in, if you had a rotator, you can do it. A rotator put it down too. It's always better for the cars to put it down, but you can get a rotator and it can put the rubber back down to it with a rotator.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But it would just take so much with that rotator. They really use the flat drag.
If you got, it's better for the cars to do it, like I said, with that rotator, you might have to got dog going to do that thing all night to get the rubber back down there.
If you got four slicks or three slicks on it, you know, they ain't cheap.
Yeah, because what I was looking at, if they did a no prep at Onondaga this Saturday, and then the next week we got a prep race, a grudge race, where they wanted prep, that's where you're going to have to put put some rubber down before the prep guys come in.
Shake. Now, not talking about nobody's track. Up north is worse than down south. What I mean by that, y'all don't do that much radio prep nowhere but that 131. So to get a radio prep in any track up there is a work of art anyway, because y'all don't really do the regular no prep like we do down south, because a lot of guys in there still running the big tires and slicks and stuff. So the radio prep up there is going to take extra work to do than to do from down south, with the exception of maybe 131. Maybe.
Okay.
I just said maybe not. Because when we went to 42, the first day in the daytime, which we ain't talking about nobody track because they got to be great. In the daytime, it was so-so. But as it got on down later on in that evening, when all that rubber got put out, like Bobby said, once that rubber started getting put out and they started getting it, ooh-wee, the next day that track, them folks at that track said they ain't never seen no stuff like it before. We had guys out there breaking their ankles and twisting their legs and every damn thing on that track.
Gotcha.
And now the people that worked there, now the people that worked there that was good. Mm-hmm. What else? Y'all ran out of stuff to talk about?
I'm still here. I thought it was going on. We might have lost Shake and Bake.
No, I'm here. I had to answer the call. Somebody just called. Got you now on that prep. I'm gonna get with Woody, and we're gonna see what we can work out this for next year.
There's always
now,
you gonna
see
do
what,
one.
See what Bobby didn't tell you is at his track. He got to work kind of extra hard, too, because, see, he got a lot of guys at his track that still run slicks, and he got the ones that want to radio prep, too. See, the slicks are laid the rubber down.
Yes,
but if it ain't already laid down, and sticking, the radio's going to come right back there and pin it back up. So he got to work double hard either way, too, to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
What you talking about? Man, please. And that's some, I mean,
yeah.
Hey, dog, they want to run slick, small tire slick.
Yeah.
Or radio,
right.
And big tire.
Yeah.
Man, that'll work
yeah.
you today. You tighten the track up, the big tire shake. That boy, I think,
yep.
yeah. when dog whoop the guy, they say dog blow both doors off. But he had one of the doors came over behind dog because he was shaking so
yeah.
bad. But that dog didn't stop. He was gone. But,
yes, sir.
Yeah,
oh.
man, it,
It's a lot of work either way you go. Don't care where you go at. Either way you go, Shay. You just got to, like,
okay.
Bobby, like I told Bobby, you got to look at your clientele around your area, Shay. And you basically got to cater to them. And y'all say y'all didn't want to bring racing to it. Y'all say you didn't want to bring racing to it, so I didn't send that. But you ain't got no choice. To be honest with you, grudge races right now is what thing to be a grudge racer right now. It is. And as you know, it started off predominantly mostly black people, but you got a lot of white folks into it mm-hmm. now, though. But grudge racing is what's
yes,
making the money in right now. Yeah. Grudge
yeah.
racing is
yes,
no problem.
That's the only way you're going to make money. That's
I
it.
I told you. I see that. Yeah, I agree with you. I see that.
Index races, you know, everything here up. A 650 ain't nothing but a fill-in. That was 650 or 60. You got to start up from 550. You might get a little people. 470 ain't like it used to be, because when you got the pro mod, you know, coming in. But then even the pro mod, the big time. I'm gonna tell you the four old pro mod and 420 pro mod, or either 390 or 399 pro mod. It's not exciting to people anymore. When you got a guy on a 315. And out there running 353 with that little old bitty tire, man. And this man got this big old tire, and he can't, you know, it's not exciting to the spectators anymore. It's not. So that's why you see a lot of the 470, like, you know, the pro mods not dog. Really, they can't draw nobody, because I think I saw one of your live feed, dog, and I didn't see a lot of folks. People ain't interested in it no more. They're not.
Hey,
I mean, they'll look at it, but it ain't something they're going to see.
Hey, Shay.
Yes.
if you want to start out making some money like at Onondaga, I done been to Onondaga a couple of times myself. This is all you got to do, like I think Bobby was telling you, have a testing tune. This is what I'm going to say, Shake. Have a testing tune and have maybe two or three known racers from that area just to do a little old grudge race along with the testing tune. You'll start getting the people to come there. You'll start getting them there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you
got
to do.
That's what I got out of my plate. Yeah.
Go in the community and find out who got that arrival. Go in your community. Because I done that Duval County shootout, dog, and gave that belt. Man, please. Boy, they was there. They was there just to see that. People out there, mamas and all came.
Brother Unknown.
Yes, sir.
You got something you want to say?
No, I'm just sitting back here listening, man. I love knowledge. I'm listening at some of the people, you know, that's really putting some good knowledge out there for me, you know, so I'm taking it all in.
Well, we got two of the best right here. We got two of the best, Bobby Wildchild and Willie Dawg. They've been around a long time, and I respect them when it comes to their information about this track and this race. So, let's see. Y'all got anything else y'all want to talk about? Otherwise, we can get on up out of here.
Hey, Shake,
I just wanted to say one thing, Shake. Believe it or not, you know, I be on all the shows, and I appreciate some of the stuff you do, and I appreciate how you run it, where you can shut up, where people can shut up so you can hear what the hell people be saying. And it, like you said, like Unknown said, if you just sit back sometime and listen to some of this stuff, some of the dumb shit we be doing, you wouldn't be doing some of the dumb shit we do. We do a lot of dumb shit. That's because on most of these shows, you can't hear shit what people be saying. All they doing is talking over each other and doing this. So, Shake, you know, like I said, I give you props for running the show pretty damn good and let people hear what other people got to say. Appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Bobby, you got anything you want to say?
Hey, man, like I say, once again, hey, man, thank you, Shake and Bait. Thank y'all, man, for the 9 years and 2 months, and you're killing, dog. You might have seen me. I might be coming to a track near you, dog.
Okay.
Right on. Hey, and another thing, Shake, like Bobby was saying, man, these people are so, I ain't going to call no names, but like Bobby said, you go down to Bobby track, and I'd have been down there several times, probably more than anybody on the phone beside Bobby, and he always had clean bathrooms, decent food and everything. But yet and still, they don't want to get nobody props like that. They just want to talk about the negative shit, that every track got negative shit. I don't care what track it is. Every track got negative shit. But I got to say one thing, not saying it just because Bobby on there and he my friend, but US 19 got a whole lot of more positive shit than they got negative shit. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you, dog. Thank you.
Okay. All right. With that being said, these grudge talk shows and what I try to do here on this show is educate, give people the ups on what's proper, what's true, and what's right. And I back it with people like Bobby Wildchild and Willie Dawg to verify what is said. With that being said, Brother Unknown.
Yes, sir.
Take us out of here.
Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate again another evening that we're above ground at the Shake and Bake Show. We had a very nice time. We learned a whole bunch of things. We always listening, and you will learn something. And that's a blessing. And we're going to thank our creator here today for all of this. And I hope all y'all continue to be safe and live a safe life and pay attention to everything you do. And look at the big picture of everything. Don't look at the small picture all the time. Look at the big picture, and you will learn something. That's sitting back, relaxing, and paying attention to what's been said. Love on y'all. Y'all guys have a great night. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Unknown. Want to thank our special guests, Willie Dawg, Bobby Wildchild, and Brother Woody Sloan. Want to appreciate, and Brother Greg, all the fellas. We'll see y'all next week. Same bat channel, same bat time. I hope you learned something. And my motto is keep God first in everything you do.
Amen.
Everything you do.